Hi guys, this is Kai here.
Oh, to see you again.
Hey, Joseph, you have the full version of Window Eyes? I wanted to buy Window Eyes, but the problem is people tell me that it'd be a waste of money to buy Finny.
I actually have the public beta version right now with me, and Windows Vista machine.
0%.
So, Rick, are you there?
Rick,
are you recording a podcast?
Yeah, I'm here for the moment. I got company, so I'll be in and out. So I wanted to record this. If you hit your Alt key, go up to the File menu, and go down through that menu, you'll see a menu item that says Record Presentation. If you go into there, you can give it a name and how it saves it, and it'll save it to wherever. When you're done recording, you go back up to it and just click it again, and it'll stop recording. Or if you close out of the window itself, it'll stop recording.
By the way, Joseph, have you tried the screen reader how? I have it on using it right now, but it's a 30-day demo. And after the 30-day demo expires, we'll turn into a 40-minute demo.
Excuse me, folks, I'm on Skype right now, so bear in mind. Rick, I need to request one more instruction. I'll come back a bit later, so I have to close this Skype window. So bear with us. Okay, I'm back, folks. So what was the instruction again, Ray? Rick, because I couldn't hear it because I was talking to Maria Christic from PackMate List.
4%.
If you go up to the File menu and then go down to Record Presentation and press Enter on that, you'll get your settings for recording. You go to File Name, tell it where you want to save it, tell it what type of file you want to save it as, and it'll automatically start recording. Once you're finished, you can go back up to the File menu, click on it again, it should stop, and if you close out this conversation window, it will also stop recording.
There we go. Thanks for clarification. What time is it? It's 11:35 a.m. So probably I will start at around 11:45, 11:50 to just start opening the chat room to allow people to come in. The instruction says that we can only accommodate up to 25 people maximum. So I believe there will be like 15 to 20 people here by the end of this conference. I'm currently eating my lunch right now, so I'll come back after I eat it. By the way, if anybody wants me to extend the chat until 3 p.m. this afternoon Pacific time, which is 6 p.m. Eastern.
Well, there's only three people here right now, so I wouldn't worry too much about starting it early unless you just want to. But like I said, I'll be in and out. I've got company here, so I don't know how much I'll be here. But if I'm around, I'll chat with you.
Sky, I just tried the 30-day demo of it.
0%.
I didn't quite get the program that you were talking about, but I'll try to investigate it online to see what I could find.
Okay.
Did someone just join? Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the chat.
I'm sorry. Hello.
I have just sent out the announcement saying that the chat is open to the BCT list, as well as Charles Free list and Bronock list and PackMate list. I just put the off-topic lines to allow people to respond to the off list. I just gave them instructions on how to join them. I'll be back when we have a sufficient people, like 4 or 5 of us, so we can start it.
Your mic level is way, way too high, Joseph.
Sorry for doing that because I have put the volume level at 100%.
0%.
Now, I put the microphone far away from me. And how does it sound, right?
That's a little low, but it's a lot better.
How about now?
13%.
Try it again.
Yeah. What I've done is that I placed a mic on the top of the keyboard.
18%.
To pick my sound, my voice, and the speaker as well.
That's pretty good. That's a lot better there. It's just before you was just way overloading it. That sounds a lot better now. How's this here?
In less than 5 minutes, we're going to start I just sent out an announcement titled Off Topic, because the chat is open to the BCT list as well. So I bet in a few minutes someone,
0%.
Like somebody, like two or three people, or maybe like five or six people might join us.
0%.
By the way, Jeff, it is nice to see you both here and from the JAWS list. I guess that you heard my announcement of the JFW free list, so that's why you are probably
0%.
Here. Probably you might have questions like how Windows Vista works with JAWS for Windows. I'll answer that in a moment.
What did you say?
Sorry for confusion there. I said it is nice to see you here and also on the JAWS free list.
0%.
Mailing list.
That's nice to be here too. I'm on the BCT list too.
Hey, I just ordered Vista last night off of Newegg.com. I paid $189 for Vista Ultimate. I bought the OEM version, so should have that by Wednesday or Thursday and can hopefully get started working on it on this end.
Basically what I'm doing is I'm eating my lunch here, so it'll be a bit...
25%.
So please bear with me. Yeah, I bought the Vista Ultimate upgrade version to the Best Buy.
0%.
And it came in this like rectangular box. It's a hard plastic box. In order to open it, there is a latch on the left side of the box, so you can open it to the sideways to reveal the Vista DVD. The DVD, if you have Ultimate, you might get like one or two DVDs. If you have two DVDs, then the top one is the 32-bit and the bottom one the 64-bit.
0%.
If you get only one DVD, that might be the 32-bit DVD. Did you buy the full or the upgrade version?
I bought the OEM version off of Newegg, so it won't have that particular packaging. It'll just be in a shrink wrap. But I think it's just the 32-bit version. I don't recall it saying it had the 64-bit DVDs with it.
Now, if you want to order a 64-bit, you have to actually contact Microsoft to order a 64-bit version.
0%.
You can buy it off Newegg. I've seen them there, but I don't have any need for a 64-bit version here, so I just got the 32s, and that should be fine for me.
So the Vista chat is now officially opened as of 12:01 p.m. PST, or 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central, 1 o'clock Mountain, 7 o'clock
0%
p.m. GMT. So if you have any 6%. Questions, then I or someone who has Vista would try our best to answer the questions.
0%. We're talking 4%.
So, Rick, so have you heard the guides that are posted on your website?
Yes, they're all three posted now.
We're talking 3%.
Yeah. To help you install Vista, I posted the, along with the first podcast, in that podcast, you should hear something like step-by-step instructions on setting up Vista. That's where probably you would want to use while you're upgrading to Vista.
Is it possible, I mean, I know you're blind, you're totally blind, right? Is it possible to install Vista just by sticking the DVD in and you know, start working with it? Do you have any sound assistance or anything? You know, like narrator? Because I know I heard you giving us instructions, but I didn't know if you actually did the install yourself or if we're going to be able to do it ourselves or not, or if we'll need sighted assistance or anything like that.
For the most part, I would say that you need sight assistant. Back then, when I installed Vista, my mother
0%.
Read me the screen so I could select the right options. But when I did the upgrade once, and I did it once, I did it by myself, because I memorized a set of routines. So
0%.
And in talking about installing yourself, I had a chance to look at the Windows Automatic Installation Kit documentation. It's quite hard for me to understand. So probably I have to ask some IT professional about installing using Automatic Installation Kit.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I'll probably have to wait till I get some sighted assistance here then to even tackle it. But what I plan to do is keep XP on my C drive as the primary operating system, and then I will install Vista on my D drive, or well, actually my E drive, and I'll dual boot, so hopefully that's not going to be any problem to do.
If you want to dual boot your system, what you need to do is so make a partition on your D drive. Like you need at least 40 gigabytes of partition in order to install Vista correctly. I suggest that if you have a hard drive that is above 60 gigabytes,
0%.
Then you'll be fine. What you need to do is when you install Vista, you need to tell Vista Setup to install it on the D drive instead of C drive.
0%.
And after you install Vista, when you start booting it,
4%.
It will come up with a screen that says select the operating system selection.
0%.
This is quite a change from XP Startup, where in XP it says like a boot menu.
0%.
And selection operating second operating system. In Vista, it is completely done by a completely new boot manager called Windows Boot Manager. Depending on what you select, when you select Windows Vista, it will start from the D drive using what's called winloader.exe, which is an operating system loader. And 0%. If you select a C drive with XP on it, you can tell Windows Boot Manager to open the NTLDR, which will continue the setup process. Actually, the loading process of XP.
Oh, interesting. Is that something you just have to remember and kind of just do blindly?
Yeah, you have to remember to select the correct partition, like D drive in your case. But I would say you need some sighted assistant if you need help bringing the scene out for you.
Just to set it up right, once it's actually all done, I can just press my up or down arrow to go to Vista or XP, right?
Yes, just like you had with the dual boot setup. What you do is start your operating system, and the boot manager will come up, and then press down arrow. I believe the first item that you select is, I believe it's the Windows Vista item. If not, if it says a Windows XP, you can press enter on it. If not, you have to press down arrow once to go to XP.
Okay, yeah, sounds just basically like the XP and the previous operating systems, just has a little bit of changes to it. Okay, great, that's will help me out.
Jeff, do you have any other questions?
Not so far.
Okay, we have a new member who joined us. Her name is Maria Christic.
0%.
Before I started this chat, I had a lengthy Skype conversation with her, and she was interested in joining the Blind Codec list. Rick, do you have any instructions 0%. For her?
Yeah, just go to www.blindcodec.com. And there's some links at the top of the page. One of them, I believe, says contacts. If you go in there, go down through that page, you'll see a link that will allow you to join the mailing list. It's pretty easy. I don't think there's a whole lot to it.
Did someone just speak? Maria, if you're there, would you mind
0%.
Press the control key? Just hold down the control key and start speaking to a microphone so I can hear you. You're
0%.
Here. And while doing that, would you mind adjusting your microphone
0%.
So I can hear you?
Okay, is this better at all? I'm not quite sure if you could hear me. I was holding down the control key, but I think my mic volume might have been a bit low. So is this better at all?
1%. Yes, it is. Let's see. We were discussing about dual boot system. Maria, do you have any questions
0%.
That you might want to throw out? Just in case, I'm going to start my Toshiba laptop with Vista on it, so you can hear the startup sound.
Yeah, I was just wondering. First, I guess my mic was really low, so you couldn't hear, but I was just asking, since I'd come into the room in the middle of your discussion about, you had said that you had to down arrow to something. And I was just wondering whether you were talking about the logon screen or what you were talking about there. It sounded like it because you were mentioning the boot manager, but I wasn't sure. And then I was also wondering, have you tried using your Braille note on Fista? And if so, how well did that work? Did you use Sync Center? Or I thought I read on some list that there was a version, a separate version of ActiveSync for Windows Vista. I'm not exactly sure about that. I didn't really do much searching for it. But so I was wondering how well that worked, if you had tried it out before.
1%.
I did indeed try it out. Oh, yeah, just what you heard was the Windows Vista termination sound.
0%.
Yes, I did try out the Sync Center with the Braille note, and it's, as 0%. Far as I know, it works great with JAWS for Windows and WindowWatch. The one drawback it has is that the configuration settings have moved to what's called the
0%.
Windows Mobile Device Center, where you can configure what ports you want to use and find out more information about your device that you're using.
0%.
In terms of boot manager, the boot manager has changed in Windows Vista. In Windows Vista, there is a new boot manager called Windows Boot Manager. It is similar to like a boot functionality in MTLDR in previous version of Windows. The down arrow key that I've stated
0%.
Was selecting the operating system to start if you have a dual boot operating system, for example, like Windows Vista and Windows XP.
0%.
Oh, okay, thanks. Yeah, that's what I was thinking that you were talking about with the question about the boot manager, but I just wasn't sure, so I wanted to verify because I had come in right at the tail end of that. And that's great that the Sync Center works with JAWS and Wii and such. The mobile device control center that you were talking about, is that just accessed through the control panel, or is that accessed from the Sync Center application, or both?
1%.
The Windows Mobile Device Center, when you establish a partnership with Sync Center, it'll automatically add that item to the control panel, so you can access it
0%.
Via control panel. I haven't tried accessing the device center from the
0%.
Excuse me. From the Sync Center yet.
0%.
I don't know. I think I saw a link to it from the Sync Center, but as far as I know, there is a separate item that will be created once you establish a partnership with BrailleSense or PacMate.
0%.
With the Windows Vista, that is called Windows Mobile Device Center, it is accessed from control panel. Which, speaking of control panel, which has changed, if you have, I don't know whether you heard or not, those two sounds were mingled together. The
0%.
First one that you heard was the startup sound, and the beeping was the
0%.
Logon sound. In speaking of control panel, they have changed.
0%.
If you install Windows Vista for the first time, you would see like 45 to 49 items depending on your hardware and version that you're installing. On my system currently, I have like 52 items. I know that
6%.
When Jonathan Mosen did his FS cast with Eric Devery, he had about 56 items in his control panel.
Okay, thanks. So in terms of the Sync Center, does that work really similarly to ActiveSync in terms of just the way the mobile device center, does that function really similarly to the tools options menu item in ActiveSync? Or is the, I understand that it's synchronization as it was before, but is the layout of the program, has it changed radically between ActiveSync, the add-on utility, and Sync Center?
Well, it's basically the same. When I'm finished with my food, I'm going to give you some demonstration, because my right hand, I'm holding my phone, my left hand, I'm holding my control donkey. So. Okay,
0%.
Jamie, welcome to the chat.
JD Crowell, 5%.
Yeah, as far as the layout goes, excuse me, it is a similar to
0%.
Tools and options dialogue from ActiveSync as far as the options goes. So you feel at ease
0%.
When you use mobile device center.
Carmen, 3%.
Oh, Jamie's gone. Okay, for the benefit of Maria, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you guys what's new with Windows Mobile Center and its layout.
0%.
So, I got Josh running. Excuse me.
1%.
Okay, I have, I'm going to open Mobile Device 1%. Center from Start menu.
Menu, edit start search edit, the move from line of stress up with down arrow. 25%. 24% menus.
Sorry for the volume.
Dialogue. Waiting for device to connect. Allow USB connection. Checkbox checked. So clear checkmark. Press spacebar.
I'm using JAWS 8 or public beta, by the way. Yeah, 0%. It's the same setting as tools options from ActiveSync.
Allow connections to one of the following. Checkbox checked. So clear checkmark. Press spacebar. Combo box. Bluetooth 1-1. To change the selection, use the arrow key. OK button to add pass. Allow USB connect. 0%.
This is as far as I can go in terms of mobile device center.
So does Sync Center support the same methods of syncing as did the ActiveSync add-on utilities, so Bluetooth, USB, and IR?
1%.
Yes, it does. What I might do is I might have to demonstrate this again.
0%.
Well, I'm not going to demonstrate it right now, but we have a lot of things to do. Yes, it does support USB and Bluetooth as far as I know.
0%.
IR, it depends on the equipment that you're using, but I heard it does support IR.
0%.
Any other questions on Windows Vista? Like Start menu, Windows Explorer, Internet, Media, and so others?
I have a question. How does the disk cleanup and disk defragmenter work under Vista?
1%.
Yeah, good question. It is basically same as XP.
0%.
I'll demonstrate both Windows,
3%.
Disk cleanup and disk defragmenter when I do the maintenance section on my podcast. But to briefly demonstrate, I'm going to demonstrate the disk cleanup in a moment.
Hey, cool.
1%.
Jeff, but you need to make sure that the user account control is turned off in order to do that. So you have to have the same functionality as XP.
0%.
When you have user account control enabled, it should display two options. One is clean up my own files, and second is clean up everyone's files. And if you select clean everyone's files, you'll select the UAC dialog asking if you want to continue.
0%.
Just enter on continue button and it will proceed on. This is just
a
security mechanism in Windows Vista to prevent unauthorized access to key system areas.
Thanks for the info. I was just wondering because we just bought my brother a new Vista machine, and I was just curious how it worked.
Did you say to turn off UAC?
What's the question? Because I didn't hear it.
Did you say that we need to turn off UAC, or can we leave it on?
Department, 5%.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I got the question because last time Josh was talking over me. For 18%. If you want to experience the same experience as XP where you have full control of the system,
0%.
You might want to turn it off, but for the sake of security reasons, Microsoft recommends that you turn it on. But I would say that you can turn it off if you want to.
0%.
You fully control your system. Of course, you need to be a trusted computer user, trusted user in order to do that. Only
0%.
The administrators can change the setting.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Because I know, at least from what I've read about it, you know, it seems like a really good idea to keep the UAC on. I know I've heard a lot of people on lists and stuff say, oh, just turn it off, you don't need it. But, you know, that kind of goes back to XP. You know, if you're going to use a new operating system and you're going to turn off critical features like UAC, then, you know, why bother? And, you know, I was kind of wondering why people keep saying that to turn it off, you know, because it's going to help a lot because it really boosts security. And, Does JAWS support that right now, or are they still working on that?
As far as I know, the JAWS does not support user can control nor Windows Cipher. This is why I have
0%.
Windows Eyes as well as JAWS right now.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully they get that fixed pretty quick then.
Retirement, 5%. Retirement.
Besides three of us and Maria?
Retirement, 8%.
Jeff, did your friend try the Media Center application yet?
No, my brother has the machine, and it's running Home Basic on Vista, so it doesn't have it.
Right.
Yeah, that's the problem. The Media Center is only available for home condition. Yeah, as far as the Windows Media Center goes, the Vista is pretty accessible, just like XP Media Center Edition.
0%.
Yeah, I'd put my old ATI Radeon 7500 in this system to be able to use the Media Center as well. It's over in my 2 GHz system, but I'm just afraid that it's too old of a card, and it probably never, ever would work with Vista, so I don't know what I'm going to do there. I may have to buy a USB TV tuner or something to get that part, because I definitely want to use the Media Center.
Excuse me, I was just installing my USB keyboard onto my desktop to fully control this machine. Yeah, you might want to try that. Actually, on my Toshiba laptop, it doesn't have the TV tuner nor FM radio tuner at this point.
Leave it ready with the start button.
But you could plug something in, like a TV Wander or something, into the USB, right, and then get the functionality of the TV on the Media Center.
I haven't tried it, but I will search on the internet to see what people have to say. Because I know that it has a new USB support, USB driver supports.
1%.
I have to search on the internet for that matter.
2%.
Maria, do you have any other questions that you want to throw in?
Hey, I'll ask a nice simple question this time that maybe you can answer. You said they had Texas Hold'em, and I heard that's accessible with JAWS. Is that just a single player where you play against the computer, or can you actually play with other people online?
From what I've heard from Ultimate Extra's website, it seems that you can play over the network. So
0%.
I believe that you can play over the internet with other players.
Is that just available with the Ultimate and the Extras, or is that available with the Home Premium too?
9%.
Texas Hold'em, let me see. Texas Hold'em is considered Windows Ultimate Extra, so it is only available for Ultimate users. There are other tools that are available as an extra. There are
0%.
Language Pack, which I have Korean Language Pack installed. They also have a Dream Scene where you can place a live video on the
0%.
Desktop to set as a desktop background. And they have a BitLocker drive encryption tools.
0%.
That is supposed to make your computer more secure by storing the security key on the chip called Trusted Plug
0%.
Platform Module, which is used to secure your computer from unauthorized steps or any
0%.
These language packs that you just mentioned, that you had a Korean version, how exactly do they work? Do you run them, do they basically give you a localized version of the Vista system in a different language? Does it run kind of like a dual boot system where you can either boot into the English version or the version of your language pack? How do you switch between the two languages or the multiple languages or whatnot that you have installed? And if it isn't a complete localization, if you will, of Vista, to what extent does it localize content in the language for which it's designed?
Okay, good question. The multilingual user interface pack does not translate everything. It is not a localized Windows neither.
0%.
It only translates some menus and dialogues into localized language.
1%.
To change the display language, you have to go to regional and language settings and change. There is a language combo box where you can choose a different language. You can select the language that your Windows is in and the language that you have downloaded. The multilingual user interface language, the Korean version,
0%.
It's about 600 megabytes in size. It may depend on the language that you're going to use. So it is not a dual boot system. It is not a complete localization of Windows Vista.
0%.
Just an add-on to allow you to view languages other than English.
How does JAWS handle Korean? Do you have to have voices to do that?
I don't know about that. I know that once Eloquence had a Korean language support as well. But it is a Unicode-based multilingual user interface, so
0%.
JAWS might tolerate to some extent, but you'll need a Korean screen reader to read it properly. I haven't tested it out yet, but I have to ask somebody who uses the speed meter
0%
to test it out for me. Because I subscribe to the BBS system in South Korea, so
0%.
I could access their question and answer page and ask them about it.
I just didn't understand a quick little thing about what you said. In the regional and language options in the control panel, you said there were two combo boxes. One was for the language of Windows. And what did you say was the other one? I didn't quite understand what you said the purpose of that one was. Sorry about that.
It was not a two combo box. It was it is a combo. Let me show you right now.
1%.
You should hear JAWS in a moment. So I'll press
edit, start search, edit, so move to
type press regional and language.
0%. Regional with language options, 1-4.
It just came up.
Leave menus, regional with language options dialog, format stage, current format, combo box, English United States, 63 of 205. Customize this format, Microsoft website link, OK button, formats tab, location tab, current location, combo box, keyboards and languages page, change your keyboard or input language, click change keyboards, keyboards and other input languages, change keyboard, administrative page, this setting system locale controls the language used when displaying text in programs that do not support Unicode, current language for non-Unicode programs, English United States, language for non-Unicode programs, change system locale, button, to language for non-Unicode programs, what is system locale? Format stage, to change the way your computer displays numbers, customize this format, for additional formats, keyboards, and move, OK button, formats tab, current format, top English, Zimbabwe, English,
Zimbabwe. I know that it used to be here. I don't know what happened to it, but I know that, I know that I did install Korean. Let me search control panel.
Menu. 0%. Menus, Windows Explorer. Folder view list view, not selected, add hardware, 1 of 53, to move the item, use zero, off, back, in, CD, code, ease of access, clock, game, index, intel, enter, five people, mid, mouse, network, offline, clock, parental, tentative, people, near, performance, personally, phone, power up, printers, problem with programs, and regional attack, customize setting, scanners and cameras, security, sound, speech record, sync center, system, tablet piece, taskbar, text, speech, user account, welcome center, Windows card space, welcome, user account, security set, scanners, regional with programs, and regional with Mac, regional with Mac, current format, combo, customize it for additional formats, keyboards, and tools, go to the A Microsoft website slash A, OK, location page, some salt, current location, 0%.
Yeah, I know that it used to be there, I don't know what happened to it.
0%.
I have to search it to, I know that I installed Ultimate Extras in Korean, I have to check that again. So I did install Ultimate Extras.
0%
in a multilingual user interface, but I couldn't find it. I have to post instructions BCT list sometime later if I find it, ever find it.
0%.
All right, that's okay. Thanks anyway. Yeah, I'll look for those instructions if you do post them and if you do find it. So when you were saying with the screen reader, so essentially what you would do, I'm just making sure I understand this correctly, you would switch into that language pack, and then you would unload the English screen reader that you had running and load up the screen reader in the other language, like in your case Korean, to read the content that is translated in Korean. Is that correct? And also, what is this? You don't have to give the URL. I just wanted to know the title so I could Google it. Is this called Ultimate Extras? Is that what the site is called? I'm just asking because I wanted to check if there was a language pack for the language that I would be interested in using it for.
Yes, current screen readers. That is my theory. Theoretically, yes. I have to test it out, so I have to ask somebody to test it out for me. Yep, the correct term is Windows Ultimate Extras.
0%.
All right, thank you. I'll take a look at that.
Anybody 2%. Other questions?
Okay, I got another one of those way too technical questions for you. I ran Vista Advisor on my system. It says I can run Vista. It recommended Home Basic, but I'm assuming it just said that because I don't have Media Center installed on here. You know, it's just Windows Home. It said it didn't see any major problems, two slight problems that it did see, but it said it wouldn't stop it from running Vista. Was it didn't have any compatibility data for my sound card. It's a SoundBlaster Odyssey 2. Do you have any idea if that card is supported, and do you think there'll be any issues in getting Vista to run with that?
Yeah, Vista has a completely new audio architecture. That's why it might have presented it. If there's a
0%
device driver for that Sound Blaster Odyssey 2, then if there's a Vista driver for it, then it will run.
0%.
You might want to check with the Sound Blaster.
0%.
To see whether they have the Vista driver for your model before
0%.
You start that. The what you might want to do before installing Vista is you might want to have the all the drivers for the devices that you're going to use in Windows Vista, such as TV tuners, sound cards, display,
0%,
and others.
Okay, well, I think Creative didn't have any plans of supporting the Odyssey 2, so I suppose that means it's not going to work.
Yeah, they 1%. Should have the device driver up there with on their Creative Sound
1%.
Website. If you find it with that corresponds to your model, then you might want to download it before
0%.
So it can have it ready after you're done with it. In the meantime, if you have a USB sound card, you can use it temporarily until you get the drivers for the Sound Blaster 2. Because I found that the Steam Media headset that I have, which is USB, SoundCloud is indeed supported by Vista. So you might want to temporarily use your USB sound card until you get the driver for Creative
0%
Sound Blaster Odyssey 2 for Vista.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I figure I'm going to need that, and I figured, yes, that it would be supported by Vista. All right, thanks.
Angelo, 7%.
Okay, Angelo, welcome to the podcast. Chat, and welcome to the Vista chat. I just saw your name on the attendees list box.
0%.
I would like to introduce myself and others who are on this chat.
19%. Angelo.
Then you might want to throw out.
0%.
To the floor and see, like, an answer that you want to
0%.
See on in your questions. Like, I have some.
0%.
For those of you who have used WindowWise before, or you heard that someone used WindowWise with JAWS,
0%.
Actually WindowWise and Vista, did they tell you that Windows sidebar is accessible with WindowWise? Because I found that the Windows sidebar gadgets are quite accessible with WindowWise Beta 2.
0%.
This is a WindowWise 6.1 Beta 2. That's what I have.
I was wondering, speaking of speech and the like, do the Microsoft voices that were used, like a narrator and such, in XP and in Vista, obviously, as well, do they sound any better or different at all from what they sound like in XP?
1%.
Yeah, good question. I thought I would give you a demonstration of Microsoft Anna, which is a new voice by Microsoft. I'll just start narrator.
Menu, edit, start search, edit, remove, 0%.
And give you a sample of that Anna.
Leave it menus. 0%.
Initializing narrator.
Can you hear it okay?
0%.
So here's what narrator sounds like in Windows Vista.
0%. Menu, edit, start search, edit, remove. Even menu, start button to open present, Microsoft narrator, with help button to activate, press spacebar, alt plus 2. 0%.
Main narrator will read aloud what is on screen as you navigate using the keyboard. Main narrator settings group. Echo users keystrokes checkbox is unchecked. Announce system messages checkbox is checked.
0%.
Announce all notifications checkbox is unchecked. Start narrator minimize checkbox is checked.
0%.
Okay, that's a sample of Microsoft Anna that you'll find in Windows Vista.
All right, yeah, thanks. That is a little bit better.
Yeah.
6%.
Yeah, once Microsoft claimed that Microsoft Anna is more natural sounding than Sam, and it does sound more natural than Sam, I'll say, from my experiences. There is another voice called Microsoft Lily, which is the same as Anna, but what she can do is she can read Chinese. I believe Mandarin or Cantonese, I don't know what the flavor is, if she can speak Chinese in addition to
0%.
So that's a surprise for me.
Do you with it? JAWS, have access to speech recognition?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me about that. Yes, I have used speech recognition with JAWS for Windows.
0%.
And it does respond. It is
0%.
Speech recognition on the Vista is very powerful and it's very intuitive to learn and use. Especially when it combined with JAWS, it is a very easier tool for use, although it does not replace JSAY. I don't know whether Terry Clasper or Brian Hartung indicated they would support Vista yet. I'm not sure whether they announced it or not, but
0%.
I'm sure that there will be a Vista version of JSAY.
Ah, that's okay. JSAY is way too overpriced for what it does. The guy at work was showing me how you could use Dragon on XP without needing JSAY, and actually he had it working very well, so I sure wouldn't pay the $400-$600 for JSAY. I just don't see where it's necessary.
If I had another microphone headset, I could briefly demonstrate speech recognition, but I don't have any sound card. Actually, I don't have any
0%.
Additional headset right now with me, but it's in my closet, and I have purposefully turned off speech recognition, so I don't have any real life example to show you right now. But I did use speech recognition, and it's very good.
Okay, that's all right. You don't need to do it. I just wanted to see that it was even accessible, because I heard some rumors early on that speech recognition really wasn't going to be accessible with the screen reader, and it's nice to hear that it is.
1%.
Speaking of that, the sounds.
0%.
Yeah, Ray Ford was saying it last time, but since I talked to him, that would there be a way to control individual sound channels on a 5.1 or 7.1 sound card?
0%.
Yes, there is a way to do that. If the driver supports this configuration, it will be on the enhancements tab under properties for the speakers. On the playback tab on the sounds dialog.
0%.
So if you want me to, I can show you how sounds has changed in Windows Vista.
Yeah, can you do that? I'd actually be interested to hear that.
Okay, 1%. Here we go. I have, what I'm going to do is I'm going to type,
edit.
0%.
Microsoft narrator. Quick help button.
I just exit narrator, so sorry about that. I'll press Windows key to start. Type sound.
Sound.
Down arrow once.
Configure your audio devices. Leave in menus. Sound dialog. Playback page. List view. Not selected speakers. 1-1. The move that I can use the arrow.
Yeah, we have three tabs. The first one is a playback. Second, recording. And third is a sound scheme, which I'm going to do it later
0%.
On. Select your speaker that you want to configure and press tab twice to go to
properties button to activate. Press spacebar. 20%. This is properties dialog. General page. Edit speakers. Type of text.
This is a general page where you can
0%.
Configure device to device.
Levels page.
Levels for PCB, line and microphone, etc.
Enhancements page for lighter real tech. List view. Environment check. 1 of 6. 0%.
This is the place that where you can configure enhancements like
0%.
Like configuring a center speaker, rear speaker, etc. In my case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you
sound effect.
Like how sound effect works.
In my 0%.
Case, so you will hear some echo, so please be aware of me.
Panic cell. Room. Bathroom. Living room. Sun. Okay. 0%.
It is cutting a bit, so sorry about that.
Underwater. Solar. Parking lot. Lake. Board. Mountains. None.
Okay, none.
0%.
Depending on the sound driver that you have, as well as the hardware that you have, there are some sound enhancements.
0%.
Currently, I have environment, virtual surround.
0%.
Pitch shift. Loudness equalization, etc., etc.
0%.
So what to do is I'm going to press escape
properties.
And then go press control tap twice to go to sound scheme.
Sound page. A sound scheme is a set. 0%.
Yeah, this is how you configure your sound scheme, just like XP. And this is where you would select the sounds that you want to hear in the events. For example, like menu pop, when you select an item, etc. So playback. It's a place where you can configure speakers for a sound output device.
0%.
In terms of the sound scheme, are those sounds, the window sounds, say, I know the startup sound is different and such, but say USB connection and disconnection and sync center connection and disconnection and such. Are those the same sounds as in WinXP, or have all the sounds completely been revamped?
These are completely different sounds. Robert Fripp did it.
0%.
And I'll show you a sample of each if I get the correct for when I'm going.
1%. List view not selected. Start button to list with rhythm. 0%. 0%. Open menu bar system. Rhythm 5.31. Rhythm above 5%. Total light, totally free with 0%. Totally free. Light, total. No checkbox. Light, totally free with upgrade. Desktop. With 5.0%. Jump. 1.
50 second stream.
I was listening to the Mozart Explorer, that's why.
Windows Explorer, not selected local, global. Folder Windows. Folder with media. Folder with 1.
This is strange. Oh. This is Geneva.
Media. 1.
Sorry, that was moving out.
19%. Agreed, August 19th.
So this is what Windows Vista sounds like.
Agreed.log. Time. Alarm, what's up? Alarm, auto.
Actually, I have some Pac-Man sounds, so I'm going to go over all the sounds that I have.
Alarm, what's up? Log. Time. 1. Ag. Media. Alarm.
Alarm 1 to.
Folder. Alarm. 0%. Media, alarm, alarm, add 3.log, alarm, alarm, 24%, alarm, 4, alarm, 3, alarm, auto power, chimes.log, 4.log, 0%, media, hold, chimes, 1, 0%, media, auto power, chimes.log, 4.log, default.log, 0%, type with, beep.log, DTS.log, type with, Windows, Office, Windows, Balloon.
There we go. There is the Windows Vista sound.
Windows Battery Critical. Log. Windows Battery Low. Log. Windows Critical Stop. Log. Windows Default. Log. Windows Dip. Log. Windows Error. Log. Windows Exclamation. Log. Windows Deep Discover. Log. 0%.
That's only available for IE7 RSS feeds.
Windows Hardware Fail. Log. Windows Hardware Insert. Log. 0%. Remove. Log. Windows Information Bar. Log. Windows Log Off Sound. Windows Log On. Windows Menu Command. 0%. Windows Minimize. Log. Windows Navigations. 1%. Windows Notify. Windows Pop Up Block. Log. Windows Grid Complete. Log. Windows Grid. Windows Recycle. Log. Windows Restore. Log. Windows Rigid. Log. Windows Reno. Log. 0%.
It takes a while, but.
Windows shutdown. Windows startup. Log. Windows user account control. 0%. Macro. Log. Windows.
And Windows startup sound?
1%. Folder view list view. Windows startup. Log. 1. Windows startup list. 0%.
Apparently it does not play. I don't know why it's doing that.
0%. Windows startup Windows.
Oh yeah, I know where it is.
Computer folder view list view. Not selected local disk C. 1 of 2.
This is my USB hard drive. I don't know why I forgot about that.
22%.
So that's the some sounds that you hear in Windows Vista.
0%.
Which Robert Fripp did it. Last year, I believe. There were a lot of sound schemes that were released for Windows Vista, unofficial ones. But this is the official sound scheme that you'll find on
auto
all
play
the editions
of Windows 0% folder view files using Windows. WD. Folder view media. Folder. .mp. Yamaha. Windows Vista. Media. Folder 1.
There we go. That is the Windows Vista startup sound. Sorry for taking that so long.
0%.
Oh, that's okay. Thanks. Yeah, that'll be interesting to get used to those new sound schemes and just hear them in day-to-day use when I get Vista and such.
Yeah, it, 2%. In addition to Pac-Man sounds that I have, copied from one of the Pac-Mans that the exhibits, yeah, it'll be nice to combine the Vista and Pac-Man sound into one sound scheme.
0%.
So, 1%. Any other questions? Yeah, one of the things that they asked
0%.
Me off the list, on the list, and the question that always came up on the Vista was the
0%.
Why there are two separate items on the system tray? They have changed Microsoft. I don't know what happened to it. They changed
0%.
The first half is the usual notification area. And the second half is a system notification area where you have
0%.
By default, they have clock, power status, network, and volume 3%. Control by default. So that's the quite a change. And also, Windows Tab does not move the focus directly to taskbar anymore. So in my case, at least. So the person actually Windows T to get to the taskbar.
How do you switch between the two areas of the system tray? Do you do a tab or an F6, or is there some other keystroke?
Just like on the XP, you would press some left and right arrows to move between these items.
0%.
When you go to system notification, the first thing you'll see is the hide/show button. If you press right arrow, you will come up to the first item that is on the system tray, like JAWS, Windows, Windows. And then you'll see like another system tray.
0%.
The first item that will come up is the power status, followed by the network, volume, and clock, which is the bottom right corner of the screen.
So the left and right arrows will still move you through the entire system tray area. Is that right? I just want to make sure that I understand that correctly.
Yes, that's correct.
Angelo, 9%.
I don't know what's going on today, but it seems that we have fewer people than I expected. Actually, that we have expected.
Like, 0%.
I think in the beginning I expected like 20 people,
Angelo.
But right now we have like 5 people. I don't know what's going on, probably because you're in the lunchtime right now on the Pacific Coast, or probably because they're enjoying the afternoon back there, East Coast. I don't know.
0%.
But I still believe it is now 1 o'clock Pacific.
0%.
I bet that it is usually the latter half that some people usually show up. So I'm thinking of if more people show up, then I might extend this chat to like a 2:30 or 3 o'clock, depending on the workflow.
0%.
I never pick up more than 8 or 9 here in the evenings either. I don't know. I just sometimes think people just aren't interested. And I don't know. Maybe Vista's just too new. Maybe there's just not enough people interested in it yet.
Angelo, 10%.
That is an alternative thought that I have right now. Excuse me. Let's see.
0%.
Yeah.
Angelo.
Yeah, another change that I found with Vista is this. You don't need Ghost anymore.
0%.
They have a completely new system called Windows Complete PC Backup, where it will save the entire hard disk onto a DVD or an external hard disk, and then you can restore it from the location using
0%.
The DVD, choosing the Windows PC Complete PC Repair, actually restore, and then restoring the whole image from a
0%.
DVD or an external hard disk.
Okay, Otis,
welcome. I just saw your name on the attendees list.
In terms of Office 2003, how you were telling me on Skype earlier that it was compatible with Vista, so you have to install that, like an XP compatibility mode or some such, or is it just ready to go as soon as you install it on Vista? Like, do you have to, I know you told me you don't have to do any service pack updates, but do you have to install an XP compatibility mode, or do you just do a regular install and it works?
You just install it. You don't need to go through
0%.
XP compatibility mode. It'll just install itself. But I have encountered an error 1913. There
0%.
Is this file where it won't be able to be, where you won't be able to edit it. But
0%.
There is a handy method that I found on the internet where you can take control of that file, delete it,
0%. And then the installation continues. So that some
4%.
So if you want to try, you can try it, but as far as I know, it'll install it. Just like 4%. You install it on the XP.
Alright, when I do get Vista, I will give that a try, and I'll just Google it if I receive it and such during installation, but just so that I know for future reference, did you say it was error 1913? Is that what you said? Is it 13 as in 1-3 or 30 as in 3-0?
I received error 1913. So I had to change the ownership of that particular file from the trusted installer to myself and delete it. So it has
0%.
That remedied the problem.
All right, thanks. I've written down a note for myself about that. That'll save me some Googling when it comes to that. Thanks.
Retirement 11%.
Questions? I know that Artis had some questions back then. Jerry, all right, 8%. Jerry, welcome to the chat.
Jerry,
8%. Jerry, are you there with your microphone turned on?
Jerry, 8%.
Does anyone want me to show you like other features they want to want me to demonstrate for you?
0%.
Yeah, I am planning on demonstrating right here on how to use Media Center and Media Player 11 and so forth. So if anybody wants me to show you any new features, let me know.
I'm curious in terms of Media Player 11 because I installed that a couple of weeks ago. The I have an XP machine here, but the version was released a few weeks ago that was compatible and such. Are there any features in WMP 11 in the Vista version that are not in the XP compatible version that was released several weeks ago? Maybe it was even a couple of months ago now. I can't remember exactly.
Basically, it is the same as XP's Media Player 11. The changes include a redesigned menu structure to. If you're a Pac-Man user, you press Alt when the Windows Media Player starts, it will automatically launch the menu.
0%.
So you,
Jerry,
you Jerry. So the class is your, so it is in the new modern menu style. So you press down arrow to move to a file, edit, play.
Jerry.
Select it. Oh my bad. You press Enter to select it, and so forth. So if you change the menu back to classic.
0%.
You will still get the Media Player 10 style menu where you have to press right arrow to move to the file, edit, play.
0%.
A new feature I found is the Sync Center where you can transfer the media files from the media Windows machine to a portable player, which WinUp 5.3.x has been supported for some time now.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yes. In terms of the menu bar, the modern menu style, I did see that in 11 and the XP version as well, and there's the option there to switch to the classic menus. And in terms of syncing media content to your portable device, I have seen that it is an option in Active Sync with my iPac, which is running Windows Mobile 5. I haven't set it up yet, but I have seen that as well in Active Sync, but only on my only on the Windows Mobile 5 device, not on the Pac-Mate with WM2003.
Jerry, 13%.
Yeah, I would guess
Jerry,
that the
Jerry.
Windows Mobile 2005 is the device requirement for it.
0%.
I don't know what happened to WM2003 or 2003 SE-based devices, but WM2005 is
0%.
And higher devices, I believe.
Jerry,
Windows Mobile 2005 devices are not
0%
for optimum performance when syncing media files.
Hello, this is Jerry. Have you had any experience with the virtual mode?
A virtual 2%. Mode on the virtual desktop mode or on the internet?
Referring to the Vista Ultimate, the virtual mode in that program.
1%.
I don't have any experience with that. I had to search online for it, but I
0%.
Know that Enterprise and Ultimate does support virtual PC, virtual mode.
0%.
I know that it does, but I haven't searched it yet. So I have to search online for it.
Can you lighten on adding computers to the network with Vista?
1%.
All right. I'll
this is where the network comes in.
0%.
The network architecture has also changed in Windows Vista.
0%.
Let me show the layout of the new network sharing center.
1%.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to press Windows key. Ouch. I pressed the wrong key.
Menu, edit.
There we go. And search for network and sharing center and press enter.
0% Windows Explorer. New computers and devices link. 0%.
This is Vista's network and sharing center where you can network two computers or create a workgroup or domain.
0%.
The setup process for creating a workgroup domain is same as XP, but with some differences.
Connect to a network link. 0%. Manage wireless. Connect to a network. List box. 0 items. To move to the night. 0%.
The connect to a network, which is used to connect to a wireless network if your computer has a Wi-Fi card.
Manage wireless networks.
Again, used to organize a wireless network.
Set up a connection or network link. Manage network connection. Diagnose it with internet options. Windows firewall link. Windows mobile network and share. Viewable map. Toshiba user graph. Phone graph. Internet. Customer. Use. Editor. Edit. What? Editor. Edit on edit. Edit on edit. Type of text. 0%.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I have to go to system to change that. Let me go to...
Menu. System restore. System configurate. System inform. System. 1%. Leaving menus. 0%. System rating is not available link.
I'm currently at the system dialog.
Change settings link, Alt plus C, rest. System properties dialog, computer name, hardware page, the device system, network ID, change, button, to add OK button, system protection tab, remote tab, computer name tab, to switch, hardware tab, to computer.
I know that I used to create a workgroup or domain.
System, change settings, link, change settings, learn more on, change product key, toolbar, search edit. Device manager link, Alt plus
well, let me use JavaScript.
Properties, remote set, system protection, advanced system, rating, window processor, jet memory RAM, system type, computer name, full computer disk workgroup, see also Windows activation, Windows update, Windows is activated, security center product ID, 80 performance, learn more online, precise, simple, precise, workgroup, computer description, workgroup, Vista, computer description, full computer name, Toshiba user, computer name, Toshiba user, change settings, computer name, system, memory RAM, set 14, system type, 32-bit memory RAM processor, Genic rating, system, advanced system settings, system protection, remote settings, RIP processor, Genic memory RAM, 10-14MB, system type, 30, computer name, domain, and workgroup settings, compute name, comma, left click, piece, device, remote settings link, system protection link, 1.
Yeah, I know that I used to do that, to create a network, you have to go to either network or sharing center, and you have to tell Windows, probably system, I don't know where it is, where it was.
0%.
And tell Windows that you want to connect to a network, home or domain.
0%.
And you have to tell Windows what the workgroup's name or domain's name is.
0%.
And it is pretty much straightforward in Windows.
0%.
I know that I have covered, I know that I have searched just under
0%.
Windows help and support, and I have to try it again to see where I can come up with it.
0%.
Let's see.
0%.
Yeah, the setup process is very straightforward. And so I'll come back to that after I search for help and support.
I've heard on a couple of mailing lists that people have been having some difficulties working on networks that were mixed between XP and Vista. They were having troubles, getting machines to see each other. Do you know of any issues? You know, is the networking different with Vista than it is for XP? Somebody said you had to do a lot of permission settings and stuff to get it to work.
Yes, the 10%. Network architecture is different in Windows Vista. The solution that I found is that after
0%.
You tell Windows Vista machine to go to a specific network, for example, home,
0%.
You will also need to you have to also go to the network setup wizard on XP machines
0%.
And set up the same network workgroup or domain name as Windows Vista machine. For example, my
0%.
Workgroup name used to be home, but I also had the same issue as Rick stated,
0%.
So I had to change. I have to go to Vista machine and change the workbook to Vista.
0%.
And I had to set up all my XP machines to use the Vista workbook, and then it resolved. So what you need to do, if you're going to create a new network, is that you have to create basically a new network. You have
0%.
To do that on the Windows Vista first. And after you create a new network, like a domain or workgroup,
0%.
It should have a different name from the one that you're used to. And then you have to set up the network setup wizard on XP machine to use the same
0%.
Workgroup and domain that you specify on the Vista machine, and they should recognize each other. The problem is that for Windows Mobile device users, for Bruno and Pac-Man users, you cannot access Windows Vista machine through network option.
So you were saying that you can't access the a Windows Vista machine from the network options for the Braille and the PacMate. Is that because they're not running Windows Mobile 5? If you have a Windows Mobile 5 device, will that work?
I'm not sure about that. Probably that's because both devices were PacMate and Braille both were Windows CE 4.2.
0%.
I'm not sure whether Windows CE 5.0 device, which is
0%.
Basic system for Windows Mobile 5.0, Windows Mobile 2005. I have to search again.
0%.
I'm sure that Windows CE 6.0 and the update to Windows Mobile 5.0 and the updated devices that runs the updated version of Windows Mobile 2005 will be able to access Vista
0%.
Machines. But I haven't tested it out yet, so I know that I've done it once. I tried to access a file on my Vista machine through the network drive on my Braille notes, and it did not work. Although I could access network drives on XP, so I would say that So I would say that Windows Mobile 2005,
0%,
or possibly Windows CE 6.0 based devices,
is 0%. The way
to go when you want to access Windows Vista machine through the network.
All right, thanks. I'll also do some Googling around and such to see what people have to say on forums and the like to see if that's possible. And then also, of course, when I get Vista, I'll try it out and be anxious to see what the results are.
1%.
So, Rick, and whoever asked the question in the beginning, that's the issue that we have right now in terms of recognizing Windows XP and Windows Vista machines on the network. Oh, sorry about that. So you have to actually set up a new network on the Vista machine first, and then set up the same networks on the XP machine in order for them to be recognize each other and access the public folders.
Is a gig of RAM going to be enough to run Vista reasonably well on a 3 gigahertz machine?
1%.
Yeah, I was going to go over the hardware requirements in a second right now. The hardware requirements,
0%.
They are divided into two camps. The one is the Vista capable sticker, which I have right now. Vista capable is rated as a 800 megahertz processor, a 512 megabyte RAM, at least XP graphics card. And the higher version is Windows Premium, Vista Premium Ready, which has a 1 gigabyte RAM, 1 gigahertz processor, and the Vista capable graphics card. I would say that 1 gig is enough. But if you're into heavy multitasking, I would say 2 gig would be a safest option.
0%.
I know that it does run better. It does run under a gig of RAM rate, which I've tested out.
0%.
If you're going to use a heavy tasks like audio editing, video editing, and other multimedia tasks, I would say that 2 gig
0%.
Is a safest option for now.
Okay, because I was reading some traffic on one of the other lists the other day, and several people were complaining that they had brand new machines with 2 gig, and that they were running really, really slow, and I really don't understand that, because I really don't know why it would be. And I know I was listening to the FS presentation, you know, their podcast, and Jonathan Mosen, or I don't know if it was Jonathan or Eric Damery, but, you know, they were running on a computer of 512 meg, and it sure didn't seem like anything was running slow there to me.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but when I last checked the with CSUN 2007, I met Jerry from Freedom Scientific, and he was running Windows Vista on it.
0%.
Core due to a T5600, which is 1.8 gigahertz processor with 1 gig of RAM, and it does run fast enough. I'm sure 512 megabyte machine will work, but a 1 gig is the safest for like a basic multitasking.
Angelo, 6%.
Any other like questions?
Have you seen anything that is really, really, really not accessible? Can you talk a little bit about what things on Vista really just totally are not accessible?
Angelo, 10%.
Pretty much everything is accessible.
5%.
I would say the only thing that is not accessible at this point from Josh user's perspective is Windows Sidebar.
0%.
Because Windows Sidebar, from my experiences with Windows, if Josh puts it, it'll be a great addition to like
0%.
The scripting community who wants to script individual gadgets to suit their needs.
0%.
So that is the only thing that is not accessible at this point, I would say.
I never did get a good idea of exactly what the sidebar is. Is it just some kind of media content pusher that, you know, puts media content out on the desktop for you, or what is that exactly?
Angelo, 5%.
A sidebar is like a screen panel.
Angelo.
My bad for cutting off there. It's a 6%. Sidebar is a panel on the right side of the screen. About it runs vertically down the right side of the screen. It's about the length is about
0%.
About, let's say, quarter of an inch. It is used to place what's called a desktop gadgets, which are mini applications that are designed to do single purpose.
Angelo.
It's depending on what they are designed to do.
0%.
There are 11 gadgets that are shipping with Windows Vista right now. They are, I believe, whether this includes clock,
0%.
CPU meter, stocks, currency conversion, contacts,
0%.
Puzzle, etc. The gadgets are represented by a small icons.
0%.
And you can move through the gadgets by pressing Windows key plus G.
0%.
And if you want to open sidebar itself, you can press Windows key plus spacebar. So you can actually configure the sidebar.
0%.
You can configure to start automatically when Windows starts, or if you don't want sidebar to appear while you're using Windows, you might want to put sidebar
0%
off while you're using it. And there's also a setting where you can put sidebar on top of other windows, so it can be always visible if it's on.
0%.
And you can rotate the sidebar. You can put the sidebar on either the left side or the right side of the screen, but the right side is the default
0%.
Design.
How functional is it with, say, WindowEyes? Can you go into, like, the CPU meter and actually get useful information out of it? Or, say, I think, what'd you say, a weather gadget? You know, can WindowEyes get meaningful information out of any of those little gadgets?
Yeah.
14%.
Why not? I'm going to show you right now. What I need to do is I need to shut down JAWS and stop WindowEyes, but please bear with that.
0%.
Desktop access is a bit louder than eloquence.
1%. Unloading JAWS. Windows opens a book.
I'm starting WindowEyes 6.1 beta 2.
0%.
Yeah, it is useful with WindowEyes because WindowEyes already supports just the sidebar.
WindowEyes 6.1 beta 2. WindowEyes, read only. Edit box. Today's tip is WindowEyes offers beginner, intermediate, and advanced levels of menu options.
There we go. That's a bit louder.
Windows help and support.
0%.
Windows help. Media. Desktop.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to press Windows key plus spacebar to
0%.
Get Windows sidebar in focus.
Windows sidebar. Sidebar.
And I'll press Windows key plus G to go to press
0%.
Gadget switches. I have to press add the gadget.
Context menu. Bring add gadget. Property. Add gadgets. Menu closed. Gadget gallery. Add gadget dialog. Window.
0%.
Button. Calendar, clock, context, CPU meter,
20%.
Button, space, CPU meter.
At the press
0%.
In some gadgets, you can configure how the gadget works, and it is like a laid
0%.
Out like a web page. At least in CPU
random
meter.
Access. Talk. CPU usage 0.85.
It's saying 8% CPU usage and
random access memory RAM 55 at.
It says 55% of RAM is being used.
CPU 8%.
So this is the only gadget that I have. What I would do is I would add new gadgets.
Contact add gadget. CPU 22%. Button. Currency. Feedhead. Multimeter D. Notes. Multimeter D. Button. Notes. Picture puzzle. Slideshow.
17%.
Starts. Translator. Button. Uptime. Button. Weather. Uptime. Weather. Button. Space. Weather.
17%.
I'm using weather right now.
Weather.
17%.
Orlick. Talk. 54. Talk. 54. Redmond. Wah.
0%.
Actually, it is showing the weather for Redmond, Washington, which is a default location for Microsoft. So to move between gadgets, I will press Windows G.
CPU.
23%.
And then again.
Weather.
To move the gadget to the background, I'll press the inverse command, which is Windows Shift G.
CPU.
22%.
Weather.
You'll notice that it's going backwards. To exit sidebar, I'll press Alt F4.
Sidebar.
0%.
Once more.
Gadget gallery. Weather.
Oh, yeah.
Sidebar.
0%.
Window eyes.
There you go. This is how the sidebar works with window eyes.
Oh, wow. That's really nice. That's kind of neat. There was a lot of little different gadgets there. I heard uptime and a load menu. And yeah, Freedom Scientific doesn't support that. That's really going to be a bummer because those sound actually like they're, you know, fairly useful. Thanks for demonstrating that for us.
Welcome. So if the Freedom Scientific ever releases a Windows sidebar support for Josh, here'll be a lot of hell day for Freedom Scientific.
0%.
Actually, some gadgets are based on the gadget engine, which I don't know. It uses HTML mode to display its information. So if you heard that on the weather gadget, you heard four links. This is a gadget window. So if Josh supports it, it'll be pretty cool. Like, it'll be cool.
0%.
Any other questions or demonstration that you want me to do?
1%.
Probably Rick or someone on the blanket zone might have heard on my second podcast.
0%.
Yeah. Anybody have questions for Windows West the Welcome Center?
0%.
Yeah, I haven't got that far yet. I started to listen to part two, but I just haven't really gotten deep into it yet, and I haven't got to listen to part three at all yet, so I don't have any questions.
Yeah.
3%.
I sent a copy of part one to Larry Skutkan, so he will be posting it in just a few days. If not, I'm going to send him another copy of it.
18%.
Yeah. So were you able to hear Jaws on the first podcast?
0%.
Speaking to you? While I was talking?
Yeah, it was fine. That really wasn't a problem. It doesn't matter that Jaws is louder than you. I didn't have a problem with that. That was fine. As far as Larry, I know he did put your intro podcast up. I've seen that's up. It usually takes him several days, and I know he's been at CSUN, so he's probably going to be playing catch up next week. So if you don't see it up there, don't be surprised, but you know, just give it time. But if you uploaded them, if you don't see them within a week, then you might ask him about it.
Yeah. 1%.
Does anybody have Internet Explorer 7.0 questions under Vista?
0%.
Yeah, I had just recorded the part four of the podcast, which talks about IE. Yeah.
Are there any drastic differences on IE 7 in Vista than there are, say, on IE 7 in XP? About the only thing I really heard that was different is that IE 7 in Vista is a lot more insulated from security threats and things than the IE 7 version on XP is.
1%.
There are notable changes to that. By default, Windows Vista's IE7 runs under what's called the protected mode, which is a sandbox approach where the
0%.
IE is only supposed to write its information to temporary internet files and is blocked access to other folders.
0%.
Unless user gives consent. So this is one of the powerful security approaches that Microsoft has done in the Vista version of IE7. And other than that,
0%.
Feed and RSS feed support is pretty much same as IE7, the XP and IE6.
Did you get any chance to use BitLocker? My understanding is it's not accessible. I don't know if you had any experience with it or not that you could tell us.
Angelo, 7%.
BitLocker, I'm not sure about that.
0%.
I haven't tried it because I don't have the necessary hardware on my laptop. One of the requirements for a BitLocker is that you need
0%.
To have what's called the Trusted Platform Module on your system. It is a security device that is supposed to lock the computer from unauthorized usage.
0%.
Only the correct input and the authorization of the key, then
0%.
Windows will unlock itself and will allow, you know, allow the user to use it fully.
0%.
Because my laptop does not have the TPM with me.
0%.
I don't use it. And also, if I tried running a BitLocker drive encryption,
0%.
Saying that I needed the Trusted Platform Module, which is absent.
1%.
Is that TPM, hardware, or software?
Angelo, 4%.
The Trusted Platform Module is a hardware device that is embedded in the computer.
Yeah, it's actually on the motherboard, isn't it, in a chip?
Yeah,
Angelo,
but what 9%. I mean is embedded in the motherboard.
I also heard that working with it, you know, as far as that and the BitLocker, that it requires you to be able to access the BIOS to set it up. So I was kind of told that it wasn't going to be accessible to us, but I was just curious. I didn't know. Thought maybe you had a newer laptop and you might have possibly had some experience with it.
Angelo,
my laptop, I bought it last July. It was XP Home, but I subsequently upgraded to Pro and then reinstalled.
0%.
Several times. Yeah, mine has a BIOS, but I believe the TPM is supported on what's called EFI, Extensible Firmware Interface System, as well. As
0%.
Well as BIOS. Like some, I know that some laptops does have TPM on it.
0%.
I know whether Toshiba has some laptops that have it. I know some laptop
0%.
Manufacturers started including TPM
Angelo.
On the laptop.
Have you tried putting a USB drive in and using that as a boost memory, or what do they call that, Ready Boost or whatever? Have you messed with that any?
Angelo,
Ready Boost Ready Drive, is that what you're saying? Yes, I've done that. And there is a setting that allows you to use how much, allows
0%.
You to figure how much disk space the Ready Boost mechanism is supposed to use on the USB thumb drive. And I've noticed that there are some speed improvements, about 10 to 25% speed improvement, but
0%.
Not that great. It depends on the speed of the flash drive and the USB port in question.
0%.
If the USB flash drive is enough, is fast enough to support the Ready Boost, it's like it almost exceeds the speed of the RAM, which I believe I have a PC 3700.
0%.
RAM. Then it will run. Then it will allow the system to run fast. If the USB flash drive is a bit slow, then the system will only gain about 10 to 25% more speed increase. The Ready Drive is a new technology that
0%.
Is only available on the hybrid drives. These drives are hard disk with the flash memory on top of it. When you have these kind of drives, the Ready Drive will be available.
0%.
And what will happen is that it will store the content, it will store the content of the operating system
0%.
On the flash memory chip, so it will boot faster.
1%.
Oh, so that's what Ready Drive does. It actually stores part of the OS out on the drive and flash memory, so it'll boot faster. Oh, wow. That's really neat, and it's nice to hear that the Ready Boost actually does something. I was kind of skeptical about that when I heard about it, but it's nice to know, hey, you know, even a 20% boost is a 20% boost.
Angelo,
it usually
4%.
Depends
Angelo,
on the speed
Angelo.
Of your system, general overall speed of your system, and the
0%.
Speed of your flash drive. It is more dependent on the speed of your flash drive. But with my case, I would say I
got about some 10% increase in speed. I would say about 10% or 15%, I would say. Based on my experiences playing with the media applications, like WinApp.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the speed of the flash memory on the USB drive. I'm not sure how fast mine is, but I've got a Cruiser Micro, and I think it's rated at 9X.
Any other questions? It's around like 145 right now.
Angelo, 3%.
Sorry, Maria, Artis, Angelo. If Jay is around, do you guys have any like questions?
0%.
To ask?
I actually think someone is trying to speak. I do kind of hear some static noise where I think someone is trying to speak, but their mic volume doesn't seem to be up enough. So for that person, if you are trying to speak, I guess to do an Alt-J and use the left and right arrows to turn up your mic volume. But I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but I just heard it several times.
Yeah, I heard a static click as well. Yeah, you might want to increase the mic volume from here and also from the volume control to see what happens.
0%. Angelo.
And speaking of that, the recording settings on the microphone tab on the Windows Vista and
Angelo.
Windows volume control is completely different. Which I'm not going to do it now unless someone throws out a question about it.
Rick Harmon, 9%.
Someone left us?
Rick Harmon, 9%.
Oh, yeah. I have also forgot to mention that, Rick, you might have heard of this. There are some like icon changes in Windows Vista, like a
0%.
Folder name changes. For those of you who did not know about this,
1%.
Folder names on some folders have changed. For example, the My Documents is no longer My Documents. It's just called Documents.
0%.
And the root directory for user files is now not My Documents, but the
0%.
Username. For example, if I have a username of student,
0%.
It'll say student, followed by student's documents, etc.
0%.
And my computer is now just computer. My network places is just now just network. Shared documents is now called public, etc. So Microsoft has dropped my from folder prefixes.
0%. Rick Harmon, 9%.
Hello? Anybody there? It seems that the conversation has died out.
I have a question. Is Windows Mail different from Outlook Express?
Rick Harmon, 8%.
Actually, it's the same as Outlook Express. It has the same code, same look. Except that it has some features from Office 2003, such as junk,
0%.
Filtering, junk mail filtering, and other new stuff. So Windows Mail is just a rebranding of Outlook Express.
Sounds like it could be something very useful.
Requirement 9%.
Yeah. Did anybody heard of Windows Calendar or Windows Contacts yet?
0%.
Or does anybody know who uses them? Windows Calendar, Windows Contacts.
0%.
Heard of them, but I don't know how accessible they are.
Yeah, I just had a look at Windows Calendar, Windows Contacts the other day, and it seems that from the
0%.
First glance, it is accessible. It
6%.
Uses some kind, like the same, almost same settings as Outlook's calendar and contacts management systems.
So in terms of Sync Center and such, does this mean since there's Windows Mail and Calendar and Contacts and such, does this mean that one can synchronize the data that they have in those three programs to their mobile device, or does that still require Outlook? I have Office 2003, and I'll get Office 2007, so I plan on continuing to use it. But I'm just curious, now that these programs are included with Vista and such, does that work in terms of synchronization?
I don't think so. I believe it still requires Outlook. But if you have a program that uses so-called e-card, that is used to store contacts, then you can use Windows Contacts to view e-cards.
But in terms of SyncCenter, I believe you still need Outlook for optimum results.
Okay, that's no problem. I was planning to use Outlook anyway, but I was just curious. Thanks.
It seems that we have like a 6 people on board here.
0%.
So it's about 10 minutes before the scheduled time off. Are there like the questions that you want me to throw out before either extend or close it?
Where are your podcasts available at?
The podcast, the guide of Windows Vista is available on the requirements site, which is www.blind-geek-zone.net. And click on the audio link and you should find it there. So I guess that does it for today's
0%.
Chat. I know that we didn't have a lot of people here. We had the maximum that we had was, I think, 7 people, including myself. And thanks for asking so much questions, and thanks for allowing me to learn more on Vista.
0%.
Yeah, the podcast, just like I said earlier, it can be found in Rick's website.
0%.
On the audio link. And just a quick question here before I either close or extend it.
0%.
Do you want to extend this chat for another 30 minutes or an hour? Or do 7%. You want me to close it? Because I have a feeling that we might want to extend it a bit. So other people, if you have other desperate questions, then you can ask someone who's knowledgeable.
Are you scheduled to have a chat later on tonight for the same purpose?
Tonight, I don't think so. Depending on the schedule that we have,
0%.
I might, but it is not feasible at this point. But what we can do is tomorrow night,
0%.
We can have another chat on Windows Vista.
0%.
Because I got some academic stuff to do, and because I got to attend some church functions, probably
0%.
Tomorrow, let's see, I believe 5.
0%.
I'll try my best to come up with a time around, let's see, 6 to 8 Pacific, which is 9 to 11 Eastern.
0%.
Night. I'll try my best to come up with the time, and I'm going to...
0%.
I might give you a notice before about 24 hours beforehand.
1%.
But tonight, I don't think so. Tonight, we won't have another chat like this because I got to attend some family functions. But you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to open a small an hour chat session.
0%.
Probably at 7 p.m. tonight. Probably, let's say, around, shall we say, 7 p.m. It'll be about an hour long chat.
0%.
It'll be an hour long chat, which is some 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, 8 p.m.
0%.
Let's see, Mountain. So I would say let's do it tonight at 7 p.m., let's say. If I'm lucky enough, if I come back early and after I'm done with it, done with my thingies, the academics and stuff, then we might do like an hour of intensive chats.
0%.
Auto chat on Windows Vista, and hopefully many more people will join us. I know 4%. That many people like Hope Hovenmeyer, Neil Ewers has shown interest in that. And probably that would be a fine time to join.
0%.
It's like a fine time to do another like a Windows Vista partner, like a chat with the same purpose and same topic.
0%.
For another hour. Probably tonight at 7 p.m. which is 10 p.m. Eastern. What do you guys think about that?
I think that would be good. I thought you had posted the chat for today as 5 p.m. Pacific time, starting.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I did it, but I didn't know that we had to attend the family function just now.
0%.
What I want to do is I have actually sent out the chat from 12 noon to 12 o'clock, maybe. On 5 o'clock chat might be, Rick, are you interested in leading the chat? And
0%.
If there are questions, you can answer them for me. That'll be great.
7%.
But tonight at 7 o'clock, if I come back, 7 o'clock Pacific time, I'll try my best to join the chat at 5 o'clock. But 7 o'clock chat, PDT chat, I'll try my best to be there and host the chat again. But tomorrow night, I believe we're definitely going to have a 5 p.m. to, I believe it'll be scheduled from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. chat, I believe. But tomorrow night, I'm definitely going to host
0%.
The chat because I know that many people did not have chance to attend. I would like to apologize for not posting the chat changes earlier. Because it just happened yesterday, it just happened Thursday, and I sincerely apologize for not sending the list
0%.
The warning ahead of time on time changes. So if we're going to have a chat 5 p.m. 7 p.m. Pacific, which is 8 to 10 Eastern, probably, Rick, are you interested in leading the Vista chat on that time? If
0%.
There's going to be any chat tonight. But tonight, after 7 p.m., I'm hosted.
0%.
Tonight's hour-long chat. But tomorrow, I'll try my best to host the 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. chat.
I think, the hour chat for tonight from 7 Pacific would be fine. I'm not pushing for any other times. I was just trying to clarify if I had misunderstood the situation.
Honestly, 7%.
Yeah, so 7 o'clock PC Pacific will be fine for me. As well. Rick, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, what time did you want to do that? Tonight at 7 Pacific, you said?
Yeah, I'll try my best to be here around tonight at 7 Pacific, but I don't know, depending on the family functions, I might start an hour early. It can be either 7 o'clock Pacific. Yeah, what you might want to do is
0%.
If people come at 5 o'clock Pacific time, then you might, if you want to host it, then you can host it fine. I'll
0%.
Try my best to join you guys around 6 o'clock to 6:30 so I can take over at 7 o'clock Pacific time. If you guys want
18%.
To have another chat tomorrow night around 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific, which is 9 Eastern, we might want to do that if everybody is contented with it.
I'll try, but I can't guarantee I'll be here either tonight or tomorrow night, but I'll see what I can do.
I guess this concludes the main official part of the chat. I'll be here until 2:30 in the afternoon, which is 5:30 Eastern.
0%.
So if you have any further questions, the recording is finished.
Vista chat number 2, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, it's 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we have no host and no guests besides myself, so I don't know if this is going to happen or not. Hey, Riz, how's it going?
Hi, Rick. I'm fine. You right?
Doing pretty good here.
Very good. What are you up to? Oh, by the way, Rick, I do have to apologize for raiding on your parade last time. I never realized you were actually doing an organized chat.
Oh, that wasn't a problem.
I just have, I'm just very well known for doing that in this chat room, so that's just me, I suppose.
Well, I wonder if we're going to have a Vista chat tonight. I don't see Joseph here yet, and he was supposed to be here at 7 o'clock Pacific time. It's 10 o'clock Eastern, and I imagine it's, you're in England, aren't you? So I imagine it's another, 4 or 5 hours later there.
Yeah, it's 3 minutes past 3 here.
Well, you're being a late owl tonight.
Yeah, used to that.
Hey, Jerry, how's it going?
Hello, Jerry.
Hello. I'm doing good. Thank you.
I take it this is another one of those themed chat things, Rick. Am I right in guessing that?
Yeah. Joseph Lee is supposed to be here for a Vista chat, but so far he's not shown up.
Right, okay.
What'd you do, just jump in here for no reason tonight just because you've seen somebody in the chat room?
Yes. I thought, let's see if I can harass anybody. And I saw your name in there, so I just thought, I'll come in there and see what's happening, and that's Well, I did.
That's just me lurking.
Yes, of course that's what most people. I mean, some people go in there, and I do it sometimes. I'll just go in there, and then because some people will see if anyone's there. If they know if there's no one there, they won't go in. Whereas some people will go in anyway.
Yeah, not much fun of going into an empty chat room and sitting here all alone like I was, is there?
No, this sort of defeats the purpose of a chat room.
There's never very many people ever in this chat room, actually, and it's kind of sad because, you know, somebody bought this chat room and it really never, ever, hardly gets used.
I think it is sad, actually. I mean, I remember this time last year it really took off and, you know, you would get people on a, I would say, pretty regular basis, but then it just, I think September time, it just seemed to really die down and there was hardly anybody ever here. I don't know, it's weird. It's really weird. I think it is a shame, though. I totally agree with you.
Well, that's why we're trying to make an attempt to revive the room. We've had a few, you know, kind of specialized chats here over the last couple of weeks, and, you know, we've just been trying to get a few more people in here, but still we're not getting more than 8 or 10 people at a time, and we had a Vista chat early this afternoon, and we only had, like, 5 people in here.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think it's strange, but I think you know, any opportunity to try and revive it, I think it's always a good idea. I mean, even if there's no organized chat, if there's just, you know, if people just turn up, then it's always fun.
Yeah, I'd agree. We just, I don't know, we don't really need to have any organized chats, really, but we just thought maybe if we had something that was actually organized, maybe, you know, some people would actually show up. We had one last weekend that really wasn't organized, and it lasted for about 2 hours. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I've since I used it last year, this chat room, I've learned so much, especially about the States, which has always been fascinating for me. So it's always a good place to come, especially if there are people here.
There he is.
Okay, I apologize for being late. So I just came from a family function, so
0%.
Whoever is here, and whoever asked the last question, would you mind sharing the question with me? I'll come back in a moment, because I got to do some washing on my face. So I basically start recording now. So I apologize for being late. If you guys started conversation, you can continue.
Hey, Joseph. Nope, we were just sitting here waiting for you to come into the room.
Good, because I will be back in a moment.
10%.
Okay, we have 4 people, including myself. Yeah, as I said before, the topic of this is Vista.
0%.
Probably, what were you guys discussing while I was out?
Just idle chit-chat, just talking about getting more people to come into the chat room and, you know, just the attempts, you know, we've been making lately to get a few more people in here.
Yeah, before I left, I sent the reminder message to the blindfold checklist. I don't know whether everybody will be here tonight or not, but this is a 1-hour chat.
0%.
Due to my limited resources. Well, I will be back in just a few minutes. So, good luck with your continued quest.
Well, Rick, did you find anything exciting come out of CSUN this year?
Oh, no, I didn't even get to go to CSUN. That's way out of my league.
No, I mean, did you hear of anything come about as of CSUN?
Actually, no, I haven't heard any podcasts whatsoever out of CSUN this week. I'm hoping, you know, Larry will have something for us when he comes back, and I think ACB Radio is going to play some stuff starting this week, hopefully.
Well, I have some information about CSUN 2007, specifically from Humanware and Freedom Scientific. I don't know about the other vendors. It's when APHI didn't have any chance to meet Larry's GoopCon, which was part of my plan. So, on to the thing.
0%. Menu edit. Shut up. Leave it menus.
Now, they were showing us new packmates, especially packmate BX. They had a spacebar issue fixed where there was a discussion where you had to only press the edge of the spacebar. Now you can press anywhere from spacebar to carry out coding functions. On the humanware side, they showed us some Nemesis tutorial that run under Brownout. And Fatal Scientific JAWS booth, they showed me JAWS 8.0 under Windows Vista with Focus attached to it. So that's the major update in terms of Fatal Scientific and humanware.
Hey, Joseph, I just found out something interesting on the one of the Vista lists this evening. A person told me that they were able to install Vista using Narrator right from the start. Do you know anything about this or not? I'm still trying to get a confirmation from them on exactly what they did, but they claim they were able to use Narrator to install Vista on their system without any sighted assistance, I take it.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. That's because starting from the latter half of the Vista installation, what will happen is that the Vista, it'll launch itself.
0%.
But the setup screen is there. So my theory is that you can press Windows key plus U to go to Narrator and then start installing from there, because the core Windows Vista is running while the setup is proceeding. So in theory, you might want to do that. I need some confirmation on that message. I'm doing a lot of things. I'm chatting with you. I'm receiving my email and my Brownout. And I'm trying to control my Vista machine right here.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that person to write back to the list, but I'm very hopeful from what they said. You know, they said they turned their computer on, waited several minutes, pressed Control U, got the screen up asking them what they wanted to do, and they went to Narrator, and they said they went through the rest of their install. So, yeah, I'm really encouraged about that, and I hope that's actually true.
It's actually Windows key plus U followed by Alt N.
I did tell you I ordered Vista, didn't I?
1%.
You did. I just received the email message. Good. I'll try and make this one. This is from, what time is in the UK again? This is from Ben.
0%. Yep.
This is from Matt Ben. Mustia Rose. I'm trying to catch up with the email after like 3 hours of absence. And just bear with me.
Yeah, it's about 3 a.m. there. Actually, it's 3:16 a.m. there.
1%.
So who is here? Me, you, and
0%.
Who else? Let's see.
Jerry.
Jerry, 9%.
Yeah. Are there any other questions that I didn't cover in the previous chat that you want me to cover?
I don't have anything. I'm just going to kind of sit here and be quiet. I just wanted to come and see what was going on, and nobody was here, so I thought I'd hold the fort up till you got here.
Jerry, so how many people were here when you originally started this at 7 p.m.? Just the three of you? You, Riz, and Jerry?
0%.
Yeah, when I came in about 10 till 10, nobody was here. Then Riz came in, then Jerry came in just a minute or so after 10.
Jerry, 9%.
All right, then I believe that we will expect other folks to be here shortly, because I know that everybody should be receiving my
0%.
Reminder in a moment. Actually, I sent a reminder before
0%.
I left around 3 o'clock this afternoon, which is at 6 p.m. Eastern.
0%.
The other issues that I need to figure out. Oh, yeah. One of the I forgot to mention that the start menu. You can
0%.
The start menu has changed. Well, the...
0%.
If you need to shut down your computer, you have to press Windows key and then right arrow 3 times and enter. Because if you press right arrow 3 times, you won't land on the power menu, which shut down, restart, lock, lock off, etc. So if you need to restart your computer, you have to press Windows key, right arrow 3 times and R. When you shut it down, you have to press Windows key, right arrow 3 times and enter to shut it down. So that's quite a change in terms of power management.
Yeah, that's quite a change, isn't it?
Yeah, it is only seen with the newer start menu. The classic start menu, you get to press Windows key up there once and go to a shutdown and just shut it down right there.
0%.
is Jerry. So I'm concerned that there's a lot of programs that aren't running under Vista.
Yeah, that's because they changed the programming. It is now using what's called a .NET Framework 3.0 instead of .NET Framework 2.0, which was available for XP. And I'm sure that XP with Service Tech 3, it will incorporate .NET Framework 3.0 as well.
So when they go to .3 on XP, is that going to update the old programs on XP so they work on Vista?
Jerry, 10%.
I'm not sure about the compatibility data, but I don't know. Some programs are written in .NET, some programs are not. It depends on the programming code.
0%.
Because there was an issue with Vista when it came out, that some programs did stop working, like Nero 6 and others.
0%.
Actually, what the manufacturers of these programs might have Vista compatible program versions like Nero, the like has came out with Nero 7, which is supposed to run in Vista, and everybody and
0%.
Whoever confirmed it did confirm that Vista works with Nero. Actually, Nero works with Vista. So it usually depends on programming code. So you need to be very watch out for if you're going to write a program for Vista, because the programming really change.
Well, are you able to run Vista and then go into a virtual mode and run XP to run those old programs?
Very 8%.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that as well, but Windows Vista does include a compatibility mode, sort of like a virtual mode to run XP machines.
Jerry.
I've heard XP compatibility mode actually works very well, much better than the 95-98 compatibility mode in XP works. So hopefully, that's not going to be a huge issue. And things like Nero, like you said, the latest versions of Nero 7, I've seen emails saying that they are Vista certified. So, people are getting there.
Jerry, 5%.
Yeah, there is a also the processor must be able to handle a virtual machines. Yeah,
0%.
Most operating system does handle virtual machines, but the sufficient hardware is needed.
0%.
Yeah, some processor does have some virtualization technology. I'm not sure on that because I don't have the necessary hardware. Yeah, I've noticed that Vista runs XP-based software a bit faster.
0%.
Than its own code on the XP. So it's quite an improvement.
0%.
And if you have two disk drives, two hard disk drives like I do, what I plan to do when I put Vista on my machine is I'm going to continue running XP on my C drive. And I'm going to install Vista on the E drive, and then I'll dual boot into either one. So when the computer starts up, I'll tell it whether I want it to go into XP or I want it to go into Vista. And I'll be able to have, the best of both worlds that way.
Yeah, you can do that. But there's a compatibility issue there. If both drives are formatted as NTFS, that should work.
0%.
Although Windows NT does tolerate FAT32 hard disk for some extent, Vista explicitly wants NTFS-based hard drives. So I recommend that you either if your hard drive is a FAT32 hard drive, then I recommend that you convert it.
0%.
Yeah, that's related. That's kind of an issue with software. Yeah, and Vista explicitly wants NTFS file system to handle large
1%.
Files, especially like a virtual paging files. And it's quite a challenge.
0%.
But if your drives are formatted as NTFS, nothing will. So if both drives are formatted as NTFS, it should work.
Oh yeah, all my drives are NTFS, so that's not going to be a problem at all.
We have any idea if the screen readers are going to work in a virtual mode?
7%.
I'm not sure about that, but both Freedom Scientific and Judo Macro has put out its own Vista
0%.
Versions of JAWS and WindowWise. And certainly it requires its own driver. The screen readers on the XP mode, I don't know about that. I have to test it out.
0%.
So probably for until now, I guess screen manufacturer must stay with the Vista interface rather than going to compatibility mode, such virtual mode.
Well, if it's anything like Microsoft's Virtual PC program, I've downloaded that and I run that on XP. I was trying to do a few things with it to do some testing of installs and stuff when I was working on my unattended installation podcasts, and I had no real luck getting JAWS at that time to even do much with the virtual Windows. So hopefully, you know, in Vista, that's there's going to be some kind of improvement there, one way or another.
Jerry,
yeah, and the good thing is that Enterprise and Ultimate does have virtual PC capability, I believe.
0%.
So you might want to try that out.
Rick, what version of Vista are you going to get?
I ordered Vista Ultimate. That way, hopefully, I'll be able to do some podcasts on everything that Vista can do.
Jerry,
and I already have Vista Ultimate online, and I basically started a guide on that. It's up on the, it's on Blind Geek's own website. Probably the ones that I didn't cover, probably Rick might help me cover those items. Well, if he has time though. What I do is I usually cover it for like a beginner users and the existing users of Windows. And my intention is to introduce Vista and new features. I believe, I don't know
Rick's intention,
but I believe that Rick is going to introduce Vista in more in-depth than what I covered. So anything that I didn't cover or anything that I mentioned but not demonstrated, probably Rick will cover, I believe.
0%.
If that's your intention, Rick.
Yeah, I'm going to try and just, you know, start from the installation process and just work my way up through it, you know, kind of like you did, just start out from the beginning, show everybody around Vista, and, you know, just work from there, pick things out at random, start showing them off. I'm sure we'll both, you know, probably, you know, maybe cover some of the same issues, you know, that's inevitable, but, you know, it doesn't hurt to have more than one view of, you know, how something works, so, you know, that's definitely not going to be a problem if we overlap things at all.
Well, yeah, I agree too. It's best to see Vista from more than one point of view to see what really can do it. Well, my guide is intended to be like more towards a demonstration and more towards the introduction purposes.
0%.
Probably, I would say that if someone like you, Rick, and someone who's knowledgeable, probably that person can do like an in-depth demonstration. Like I just did a surface thing.
0%.
To introduce them to new users, probably Rick, you might, or someone else might be able to introduce Vista from a more technical approach.
0%.
I'll say.
Yeah, I'll probably, you know, take it pretty methodically. You know, one podcast will cover basically, you know, one aspect of Vista, and, you know, I'll probably just make a series of it, kind of like I do most of my other tutorials, just take a small section each time and just, you know, slowly start covering things from the beginner point and work my way up to more, you know, technically, you know, more technical types of things that Vista can do, you know, as I learn it myself, of course.
Jerry, that'll be great. Yeah. Jerry, other things that you want to mention?
In Vista, as far as backups, are you able to do a complete backup, including the system?
Jerry, 8%.
Yes. In fact, the backup of Restore Center is pretty very accessible with JAWS and WindowEyes.
0%.
I have managed to do a Windows complete PC backup, and from
0%.
Start to finish, JAWS read everything. So it is possible that you can backup your whole system.
0%.
Your backup image on your external drive or a DVD, if it has a sufficient size.
Jerry.
Sorry about that. And then if you need to restore it, you can talk 0%. To your Vista DVD, go to install screen and choose repair.
0%.
And if you have your hardware where you have saved your previous copy,
0%.
Your image of your hard drive, and you can plug it in and you're done. You can just restore it and restart it.
That's going to be great. That's going to make so many repair types of things on Vista so much easier than it ever was on XP. And the, you know, the image type of backup is going to be great too. I'm really looking forward to all of that.
Jerry, yeah. 7%.
But the thing is that the virtual hard disk image, that is what's called, it is the same size as, it's not the same size as your hard drive, but the, let's say that
0%.
It's the same size as the space that you're using on your hard drive. For example, if your hard drive is, let's say, 160 gigabytes,
0%.
And you've used about 20 gigs of it, if you make a complete PC backup, the image will be around 19 to 20 gigabytes in size.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing that Virtual PC does. It creates a virtual hard disk, and it's the same size of whatever space you're using on the drive. So, yeah, I'm familiar with that. It'd be nice if they could compress it, but I do understand what they're doing.
Well, on XP, when you do an image backup, the backup is a lot smaller than the original drive, right?
Yeah, those images are usually compressed, and most of the image software out there does compress it, but I guess for whatever reason, Vista's just turning your drive into a virtual drive for whatever reason, and then you back that up onto an external drive, I guess. It should make for a quicker restore, you know, if you have the room, you know, to store this virtual drive on an external drive when you need to restore it. You should be able to restore, you know, your operating system, you know, probably within 10 minutes or so. So it's going to be a fairly quick restore process, hopefully.
Jerry, yeah. 9%.
What will happen is that it will, just like Ghost, Norton Ghost, that it will basically reformat your hard drive and restore, copy everything from the virtual hard disk.
0%.
So in order to restore completely, you'll need your computer, a sufficient space on your hard disk, which is like
0%.
To store the image. An external device like a DVD or a hard disk where you have this image, and the Windows
0%.
Installation DVD. So you don't need a separate CD or DVD with Ghost software on it. But you must make sure that the partition on your hard drive on your computer.
1%.
I don't know the complication. It must be same as the. It must be same as
0%.
The original partition, but
1%.
It should be same as the original partition that you made, but it seems that it doesn't have to be.
0%.
So what people have were saying on the internet was that if you want to just replace a hard drive, what you
0%.
Can do is just take out the hard drive, make a USB one, and then install a new larger hard drive and restore the operating system from the external hard drive where you have saved the VHD. So it's a pretty good tool if you're going to move from one hard drive to another, especially
0%.
Upgrading from one manufacturer to another. That's from like Maxdorf to Western Digital to Seagate. It's a pretty useful tool, not just only for backup, but for transfer operating system from one hard drive to another.
0%.
This is why I'm glad that complete PC backup is here. One complication is that it will be only available in business, enterprise, and ultimate editions.
So have you ever played with the RPE builder on XP for doing a backup and restore?
Jerry, 7%.
I don't have any information around that. If you play with your computer a lot, it is advisable that you make at least one backup copy of the system, I would say, if you're serious enough. But
0%.
Another complication is that the target media must be either a DVD with sufficient size or
0%.
A hard disk formatted for NTFS, because the last time I did a PC backup, I used 11 gigabytes out of 80 gigs on my hard disk, and the resulting VHD file was also 11 gigabytes in size, so you do want to convert your hard disk to NTFS before you start it. It's preferable to use the largest hard disk on your computer for, actually on your external drive collection for backup purposes. So let's say if you have a 3 drives,
0%.
The one on your computer inside with the Vista is about 80 gigs in size. the external one is 120, the other external one is around 250. So you want to do a complete backup on the 250 gig hard drive of NTFS hard as a file system. Because the file does take a lot of space, like a maximum up to like 30 or 40 gigs in size, if you have a lot of things to store that is stored on your original hard drive on your computer.
Hey Jerry, yeah, my sighted buddy uses BART PE all the time to do things with Windows. I don't know if they're going to have a Vista version of that or not, but that would be really great. I've not done much with it myself because I'm not sure if it's really, you know, accessible in any way, you know, since you don't have any way to get a screen reader. I was kind of wondering if maybe we could get NVDA to work somehow on it. You know, that'd be really interesting, but BART PE is a real interesting tool, and I know a lot of sighted people that use it.
Well, the accessibility is on doing a restore. As far as the backup, everything is accessible. But if you had to do a restore, then you got to have somebody sighted see the screen.
Right, and that's why I was wondering, you know, we were trying to figure out ways we could get some kind of screen reader technology, you know, onto that BART PE build, and I'd really like to tinker with that and see if there's any way to get something like the free screen reader NVDA to run on that somehow. I don't know if it's possible or not, or maybe even Thunder. It would kind of be interesting to see something like that.
Jerry, 4%.
Yeah. System restore, yeah, it's pretty good.
0%.
Instead of, yeah, since you talked about system restore, it is no longer a web page, rather a standard dialog. So there's like a combo box where you can select the various restore points and just enter on it and you're done. Just enter on finish button and your system starts restoring it.
0%.
So it's not that complicated at all.
Oh, that's nice. That should make things a little easier. Everybody's always having troubles with the restore points and stuff the way it is on XP. Yeah, that'll be good. Joseph, is the, you know, we were talking about the complete PC backup capabilities of Vista. Is, say you have a problem, you know, with your operating system and you can't get it back up and you need to do a restore. You said you need the Vista DVD and the hard drive or whatever that stores your virtual disk. Is that going to be able to be done without sighted assistance for this restore or not? Or will we be able to get Narrator up somehow?
306%.
I haven't dipped into the subject right now, but I will try my best to find like a suitable instructions on how to repair a computer. As far as I know, the general outline like goes like this. When you start installation DVD from your computer, it will present the language screen, and then you press Alt and for next button, and you see the installation now page.
0%.
There is a like button called Repair My Computer. You press Alt R to get in there, and you select the next button and so forth. Select the location 0%. Where you have your VHD. And it'll go on from there. I have to find the step-by-step instructions on using Windows Complete PC Restore to restore the operating system from VHD.
Okay, well, hopefully if the message I had gotten earlier from the other list pans out and you actually can get Narrator up on those dialog screens, then we would probably be able to do it. Otherwise, I'm sure you're going to need some kind of sighted assistance to, you know, get past all those keystrokes. You're not going to remember everything. You know, that's just would be way too hard. But hopefully, like I said, if the message I received earlier about being able to get Narrator up right at the beginning on the startup screens, you know, that's going to help us a lot. That'll be great.
Yeah, it also depends on the sound card type. If the sound does start while 0%. The installation DVD starts, then it is fine. But the problem is that the setup process that I talked about earlier that uses Narrator,
0%.
it is entirely performed from your hard drive, so it is unlikely that the Narrator
0%.
Is unlikely that the sound will be available under DVD control, because at the Help Protect My Screen, that's where the latter half of setup starts,
0%.
This is when the DVD will be there, but the hard disk based installation routine will continue, and the like a core Windows Vista will be shown.
0%.
So that might be a problem. For Jerry, that was the Windows Vista startup sound, if you could, if you heard it.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I forgot to mention. Yeah, I did mention in the previous chat, but I think you didn't hear it. That sounds and others were done by Robert Fripp, if you remember him, the guitarist. I don't know his group name, but he did it last year.
0%. 6%.
Also, someone also mentioned that I show you the Ready Booster. Here
0%.
I am at Vista. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how the Ready Boost works. I need to start JAWS first. I'll be back. Yeah, I am basically starting JAWS from the
0%.
Vista start menu right now.
JAWS for Windows is ready. Hit the release start button to open. Press enter. Desktop to move between items. Press the arrow.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to insert my USB thumb drive and see what happens with it.
0%. Microsoft Windows dialog. Scan and fix recommended button to act. 1%. List view. Open folder for new files. Open folder. JAWS Publisher. JAWS Publisher not specified. 1 of 2. 0%. JAWS Publisher not specified. Open folder. Start button to open.
Apparently the Ready Boost is
0%.
Gone, I believe. Because I don't know what's wrong with it, because is it because I've used the whole disk space on my 2 gig USB flash drive? I don't know what happens with it, but I don't know. I have to free up some disk space and actually really test out Ready Boost on that one again.
Well, you were saying the speed of the thumb drive is important. Like Rick was talking about a 9X, is that the speed we're talking about suitable?
Yeah, that came up. Yeah, it usually depends on the speed of your flash drive, and the Microsoft Windows dialog just appeared letting me know how to continue without scanning or not, because apparently the flash drive is a bit slower. Also, it depends on the, I forgot to mention, it also depends on space that's remaining on your flash drive. So the mostly the speed of your hard drive, usually, actually speed of your flash drive usually matters the most, followed by the free space that is available. More space means the more memory that can be used. And the faster flash drive means the faster the system.
I have a U3 flash drive here. It's a SanDisk Cruiser Micro. It's a 4 gig. Somebody was saying something about those were going to need a flash a BIOS revision upgrade or something to them to make them function with Vista. Do you know anything about that?
Oh, excuse me. I was reading the email, so I wasn't confident on that. Sorry. Would you mind repeating?
Yeah, I have what is called a U3 flash drive. It's the newer flash drives that allow you to run programs directly from them. They kind of act like a CD. You know, they have an auto start and everything. I was told on one of the lists that these drives are going to need some kind of a revision to them in order for them to work with Vista. The one I have is a SanDisk Cruiser Micro 4 gig. Do you know anything about any of those and whether or not they work with Vista properly?
I'm not sure, but it depends on the flash drive itself. It usually, I know that I use my
0%.
Why 2 gig flash drive without U3 with them. I used it with the Ready Boost once, so I know
0%.
That it does not require U3 at all. But usually it depends on the speed of your
0%.
Flash drive. But apparently the USB, the maximum USB 2.0 speed that is available is 480 megabits per second.
0%.
So I would say that the flash drive, as of now, if there's a revision to upgrade the speed to like a 15x or greater, up to a 10x or greater,
0%.
Then it can be, probably I would say, can be used well with Windows Vista.
0%.
Okay, yeah, I think mine's a 9x. I can't remember.
9x is 1.4 megabits per second. I would say
0%.
At least 1.5 to 2.0 megabytes per second is the spot that you want to select.
0%.
The ones with like a 13 to 14x speed, actually 12 to 14x speed, I would say.
0%.
Well, 9x does offer some speed improvement when used with Ready Boost. So I would say if you have this, I recommend that you try it out and see what happens with it.
Yeah, I definitely will. I plan on doing that. The only concern I had is somebody was saying that the U3 drives wouldn't necessarily work with Vista without some kind of an update or something to them. So, but yeah, I'm going to give that a try and see what it does. Do you know what amount of space is good to use with it? I think I've got about a gig and a half free on it.
Now, by default, the ReadyBoost offers all the free space on your
0%
flash drive. So if you have about 1.5 gigabytes left, so it will offer that as a choice. But I would say about a gig is a pretty good size to use. About a free,
0%.
About a 1 gigabyte may be reserved for running ReadyBoost, I would say. The ReadyBoost, I would say the size, this is just my regular opinion, but I would say that it should match the amount of RAM that you have.
0%.
So let's say on my system I have 1 gigabyte of RAM, so I set my ReadyBoost to use 1 gigabyte of RAM with a flash memory space as well. So I would say that because you have 1 gigabyte of RAM or 2 gigabyte, 1 gigabyte, I don't know how much RAM do you have.
0%.
That might be the capacity that you want to use. So if you have about 1 gigabyte of RAM, you might want to use like one gigabyte of flash
0%.
Memory space to run ReadyBoost. Yeah, I think you can.
0%.
I would say this is solely my opinion and theory. I would say you can use ReadyBoost from all the way from 512 megabyte up to like whole. You can use the whole flash memory space as the ReadyBoost system.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I have a gig here, so I'll probably try a gig with it on the ReadyBoost as well and just see how it works, but you know, I'll let everybody know how that goes here.
I see we're the latest new egg special is for a 16 gig flash drive.
Yeah, 16, yeah, I love those. But I believe the largest I've seen that I've heard was 64 gigabyte flash drive, I would say. So
0%.
Within a year or two we will see like flash drives ranging from 512 megabytes to about 8 gigabytes in service.
0%.
Used by users. And possibly even like a 100 gigabyte, 128 gigabyte hard disk flash disk will be released sometime in the future. So I would say about a year from now, I would say around
0%.
512 to 8 gigabytes of gigabyte capacity would be used by consumers. And between about 512 megabyte to about 4 gigabyte will be used for ReadyBoost, I would say.
0%.
Yeah, those 60 gig flash drives I've heard cost thousands and thousands of dollars, so those are going to have to come down a lot before I can buy one.
Yeah, flash 0%. Drives are relatively cheap these days. Have you considered the hybrid drives yet?
No, I haven't looked into any of them yet, but once I get Vista up and going, I think I will definitely look into that because that sounds really interesting to be able to put part of the OS on the flash drive part of the hard drive to get it to boot quicker. That, you know, everybody always wants it to boot quick, quick, quick.
Yeah, which 5%. Also translates to longer laptop battery life because the 1%. Portion of the cache, usually the flash hard drive is used for data transfer. Now what can be done is that the OS will put the temporary files in the flash memory and transfer the files as needed. Not always.
0%.
As needed. Like a copying from one drive to another, from an external hard disk to the internal hard disk. That might be the only time that the hard disk may be accessed. In the other times, the flash memory will do the job that the hard disk has done. So the hard disk is powered down. So it saves a lot of power. And it's only woken up when the need arises, such as copying files or retrieving files from it.
Yeah, Vista's got some really wild concepts behind it, and that's an interesting technology. That'll be nice to see how that works out here in the next year or two, you know, when more and more drives start doing that. You know, I'll certainly be looking into it myself at some point.
1%. Folks, it's around 7:58 around here. I'm definitely going to adjourn the official chat at 8 o'clock, but if you want to, if you, I can continue up to like 8.
0%.
8:30 or more. But I am still am going to host the tomorrow's chat from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific, which is 9 to 11 Eastern. So everybody is welcome to join us. I hopefully that we will have about 10 people here talking, chatting about Vista.
0%.
Well, I sure appreciate everybody's time to participate in these sessions because they're great learning opportunities.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It's been interesting, Joseph, and I'll try to make it here tomorrow night around 9 o'clock Eastern, and I've been recording these, so I'll get them processed and I'll put them up on my website so anybody that wants to download and listen to these can do so at their convenience. And I'm out of here for tonight. Everybody have a good one, and hopefully I'll see you tomorrow night.
Okay, see you tomorrow night as well. I'm going to send the reminder message. And probably Rick might want to remind everybody on that. See you soon, folks.
Okay, Jerry signing off also. Good night.
Hello, Rick Harmon. How's it going?
Hey, everybody. It's Rich Cavalera from New York.
Hey, Rich. How's it going? How's everybody doing tonight? Hey, Joseph, it's after 9 o'clock. Are we going to get started with the chat?
He was talking about eating dinner. I don't know how long dinner lasts.
Yeah, it must have went over, I take it. Well, hopefully he'll be here shortly.
Be a mighty late dinner for him, wouldn't it?
Because it is about almost 10 after 9 o'clock. It's after 9.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be here shortly. I guess he was eating. Maybe it's taking a little longer than he thought.
Is there a way to change your hotkey in this thing? Because I keep it in my control key by accident. It sounds JAWS.
Yeah, go up to the Files menu and then arrow down to Change Hotkey. And then you can change it. I've changed mine to my right control key.
I'll definitely do that, so I don't keep accidentally keying up.
You can also change the hotkey for application only, too. That helps a lot. Well, Rick, did they have a big crowd at any of the chats? I mean, was any one of them wide open and pretty eventful?
What'd you say, Don? I didn't hear you.
Were you in on any of the other chats, and was any of the other ones pretty eventful? Did they have a lot of people?
Yeah, I was here for the other two. No, unfortunately, we didn't have a lot of people. We had a lot of discussion, and there was quite a bit of information, but there never was any more than five or six people tops. I'll have the recordings from tonight and the other two chats up on my website here probably tomorrow or Tuesday if you want to listen to them if you weren't here. I don't think you were here for either one, were you?
No, I missed them both, dadgummit. I planned on being on the Saturday one early. I missed it. Somehow I got my times wrong. I tell you, I know several people have tried to do a world clock on, different programmers have tried to devise an accessible world clock. But the person that makes one that where I can up and down arrow from time to time, GMT versus Central, Eastern, you know, and go around in a 24-hour circle with a clock and then select that particular time zone, boy, I'll buy that clock.
Yeah, that would be pretty interesting.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and ask you, Rick. I'll tell you what my main concern is. I was in on the beta cycles of Vista, and I know you were too, and I think you own Vista now, but my main concern, I guess, is I'm planning on thinking about buying a new computer, and I've looked between the Pentium D and the dual core. And well, I know the Pentium D is a dual core, but the Core 2 Duo, I guess, is what I'm saying. Looking at a couple of HPs with the Core 2 Duo, and I'm looking at an Office Max or E-Machine P2 Pentium D. But what I'm curious about, a friend of mine bought Windows Vista in a machine, and he said it was real slow. Now, he only had a gig of RAM. Why they're putting Home Premium in machines with 1 gig, I really don't understand that, but they're doing that. I'm just wondering if 2 gigs really speed it up that much. The beta on my 2.6 machine with 1 gig of RAM just didn't seem that slow. I mean, it had some cumbersome things in it, but it just didn't seem that really that slow. But if the operating system is that much slower than XP, I don't know that I would want to pay for the hardware upgrade just to have that quality of chip or that fast a computer being strapped down by Vista. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And hopefully I'll have some better information for you late this week, because I'm running a 3 gigahertz Pentium 4 with 1 gig here on my desktop that I'm going to put Vista on. Yeah, if you went with a new machine, I would definitely go dual core. That's definitely the way to go. I've heard people say that. I've heard people say that with 2 gigs it was slow, but I don't know. I just don't buy it, because I've heard other people with 1 gig saying it runs just fine. So, you know, I guess time will tell, and hopefully I'll have some interesting information here soon to pass along, and, you know, I'll certainly let everybody know. Oh, and I wasn't in the betas. I've not laid hands on Vista whatsoever, so this will be my first experience with it.
I think as for me, I'm just going to stick with XP for a bit, and when I get my next PC, I'll get Vista, because XP works fine for me. But that's just my opinion.
Oh, I'm going to dual boot. It's, you know, XP's not going anywhere here. I'm going to keep XP on my C partition, and then I'm going to put Vista on another hard drive, on my E drive, and I'm going to keep them separate. I'm not leaving XP.
Which flavor of Vista will you be getting, Ultimate or Home Premium?
Ultimate. I decided if I was going to do it, I might as well get everything.
And Ricky, you use what, WindowEyes or JAWS?
I use JAWS.
Do they let you install multi-boot, or do you have to have a special program to do that? I guess if you choose a different drive, because I have a different hard drive, I guess if you choose a different drive, it'll understand that you want a multi-boot system. But another question I guess I got is, it let me do it in the beta, as I remember. Well, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. I can't remember if it'll let you keep FAT32, because I'm still running that.
I've heard that it will not support FAT32. I don't know if that's true or not, and I won't be able to verify that here because I don't have any FAT32 drives. And yes, if you put it on another partition, it should know automatically, just like the other operating systems have, that you want to dual boot. I bought the OEM version of Vista Ultimate. I hope that doesn't throw any wrenches, anything. From what I've heard, it won't, but I'm hoping not, because I just didn't want to pay $400 for the full-blown version. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, I'm just going to buy the OEM.
Have they got some good OEM prices? I wonder if they've got Vista Home Premium down to about $100 or so.
Yeah, Newegg, www.newegg.com sells them. Home Premium is $119. Home Basic is like $80-something. I don't know what Home Business or what Vista Business is. And Ultimate is $189, and those are the 32-bit version prices.
Well, two machines I'm looking at are the HP 1720, which is around $720 or so. You know, you can get it $20 or $30 either side of that price. And I'm looking at the 7760, which is fully loaded with 2 gig and everything for around $1,150. The office machine, or e-machine, I keep calling it office machine. The e-machine is a Pentium D. I'm thinking it's a 2.8. I'm not sure, but can't really see myself doing that. But that 7760 has already has a built-in wireless support and TV tuner. Also has a slot in the front for an extra hard drive bay. They could put that in there or leave it out, as far as I'm concerned. But especially that little 777 or 1720. I like the way HP's putting the USB ports and the sound card jacks in the front. They've got line in mic and earphone in the front for the sound card, and they've got some digital outs on the back for routing it to your receiver. So they seem to be doing a lot with just the onboard sound card.
Yeah, that sounds really good. At 1150, if you could swing it, that'd probably be the way to go. That sounds like that's fully loaded. Well, it's about 20 minutes after 9. I am really beginning to wonder where Joseph's at. He's, his name's here in the room, so he's obviously connected, but really beginning to wonder if he got lost or not.
Am I getting the right person straight or not? I think he's over there in Europe, and it's about 5 hours difference over there. He might have just fell asleep on it.
So what do you guys think of the features in the upcoming Bookport 2? That Larry talked about on Main Menu, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
I'm a little disappointed that no more is firmed up than he is. I like the 2.0 support. I think that's good, but you know, just saying that you're going to have APH support and then not putting it in the first beta of it or not putting it in the first release of it, Well, I mean, how much is there to putting it in there if you already know what the formats are and the procedures are? I guess they don't want to install it because there are no digital books out there released yet, but kind of disappointed about that. There's some beta programs out there that we could be taking advantage of if it were already incorporated into it, and it might be, but there again, it's not incorporated yet. Kind of hate they don't have it firmed up the recording features yet. But then again, you know, I've got so many recorders, I guess it don't really make that much difference.
Yeah. What recorders do you have?
Oh, man, you name it, I got it. I haven't got the new Zoom. I'll probably wait on that two-track machine and get that, too. But I've just always thought that Zoom was too menu intensive. But, I mean, I got a Sony MD recorder, and I've got the Edirol and the PTR2 and I've got an iRiver around here, the Olympus DS50. I got them all.
You got everything, man. Which Edirols have you tried? I used to have an R1, now I have an R9. So, yeah. And I have an iRiver as well.
I've tried both, and I like the recording of the R1 better, I think. It recorded lower, seemed to have a weaker preamp in it, but you really couldn't get that thing to distort that much. I thought it had a real nice record in it. Man, it killed batteries, though.
Killed batteries, and that's some, I don't know, the way it was built, I had some bad luck with R1s. I had 3 of them in a year. One of the mics died, one of the buttons fell off when I was walking down the street recording, and the third, one of the jacks died. And then that last one was okay for a while until I got the R9, but, yeah, I don't know, I didn't have a good luck with them. But the R9 seemed to be working out fine. I do like that it's smaller than the R1, so that's a nice feature. And I think the internal mics are a little better. I also, now I'm using the Church Audio mic.
Boy, you guys are lucky. All I have is an Olympus WS320 here. Somebody needs to be making some donations to me. I could use some other recorders.
Why don't you buy something recently? I figure you'll probably get you one of those Zooms. I don't know about that. I kind of want to see that recorder and see how it does. Now, there's no recorder that has a better layout than the R9. The R9's real nice in terms of how it records. I just don't like that great big button on the front of it. If you don't put the R9 straight into lock after you go into record mode, you tend to knock it out of gear with that big button on the front. I would say to anybody who buys the R9, they ought to buy the case as well. I know it's expensive, but case protects it a whole lot from, you know, the jacks breaking off and all that. And I know Larry and him have had some problems with that, but you just can't take one of those things and really cram it in your pocket that well. I think I'm going to be using the DS50 as an on-the-desk recorder. I thought I lost that thing a while back, and it put such a scare into me it hadn't left the house since.
Joseph Lee, where are you?
But I knew I was going to be buying the book port, so I bought a cheap book courier from somebody about 6 months ago. It hadn't been that long, about 3 months ago. And I really like it. I like the Olympus, the way you can put Audible books on it, but there's no way to read Audible books better than the book port or the current book carrier or book port, but it's so slow transferring that stuff over, man. Gosh.
Oh, yeah, you can't beat the book port for Audible books. That's almost all that I do with it. And I'll probably stick with the BP1 for a while until some of the goodies come out for the BP2. I just can't afford any of that right now. It's all I could do to swing Vista. So,
you have mail.
One toy at a time here.
Rick, will that book port compress the Audible books as well as everything else? I know it'll compress other MP3 books and that kind of thing, but does it do the Audible books?
Yeah, I think it does some kind of compression on its own when it sends them over, because I've noticed they're always considerably smaller on the book port than the original files were.
Boy, that's bound to be slow, slow, slow.
Eh, it could be worse. It's not too bad, I guess, but, you know, the book port too will be nice, you know, with the USB 2 and, you know, charging when it's hooked to the USB and, you know, actually being able to use it when it's hooked to USB and, you know, all that. And you know, I think it'll be nice, but, you know, my book port one's not going anywhere.
Neither is mine, because I do like some of the features in the 2, like the USB 2.0, but I think I'm going to keep the one for now. I just can't justify getting that at the moment.
I too guess I'm kind of disappointed in hearing that they didn't change the Braille keys, you know, the numbers or letters or whatever, the numbers that are in the positions where the Braille keyboard is, that they didn't try to design those more like, you know, flat with a Braille keyboard type feel in mind. You know, and give you, say, like a long flat space bar for a number, you know, not that much longer. I'm not saying put great big keys on it. I'm just saying to shape them better instead of just keeping the rounded configurations on those Braille keys where the note-taking feature is.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but, you know, the one thing you got to consider about the book port is they're trying to keep the price of it down as low as absolutely possible. And, you know, I think if they start making a bunch of changes, I think that just ups the price so much on it. And, you know, that's kind of my opinion of maybe why they keep it the way they do.
Yeah. I'll say this, though. One device that I want to get my hands on and really see it and play with it is the Icon. That thing sounds amazing. I want one of those things.
Yeah, I'd love to have an Icon. If I could afford one, I'd definitely have one. That does sound really nice.
And that thing can do everything. Download podcasts, get your email, surf the web, do your word processing. It's like a laptop in your pocket.
Yeah, and if you're smart enough, you can even program for it.
Yeah, but you know, Rick, I use that Python. I wonder, I hope it's not as, the screen reader part is not as slow as that NVDA is as far as getting on the web and stuff like that. I wouldn't guess that it is. I don't know that. I think you were saying that the guy said that it's down to the Python language is what slows everything down as far as how the screen reader functions, but when they mentioned that, it kind of put a little spike in my mind as to where, well, you know, you start doing that multi-processing on that thing with that Python language, if that's going to slow things down a bit on it.
I don't know. I don't think so. They must do something different in the way they process the web pages, because I've heard it a few times bring up web pages, and there was no hesitation to it. So, and I know Michael Curran was saying that, you know, he was saying that perhaps you know, maybe they could, he could do the web pages differently, but, you know, for now, that's, you know, just the way it's going to be, you know, especially for free. But, no, I don't think that's the case with the icon. I think they either do something different, because I didn't see any hesitation in it myself when I heard, you know, what podcasts I've heard on it.
I'm like you about Thunder. They haven't shown me anything with Thunder. I really am impressed with NVDA. You know, not with the website of it, but I think it could be an effective narrator replacement eventually. But Thunder just didn't show me anything.
Thunder's geared more for somebody that's never seen a computer before, you know, and knows nothing about one. NVDA is more geared for people that are more technically inclined. So, you know, the two definitely have big differences in them, just, you know, for that reason. But, yeah, I'm going to stick with NVDA. I like it more. You know, I don't want to knock Thunder. You know, I'm sure it has its applications for certain people. But, yeah, the NVDA definitely is a great narrator replacement.
Well, it's probably kind of, you know, really not a point that needs to be made with all these cracks of jaws that are out there, man. I'm a registered user, but I'm amazed at some of the lists I go on where they're just trading the thing back and forth and not even thinking about it. You know, if they get caught with that, there'll be some repercussions. But I'm just, you know, where my mind is going with that is, you know, they went to this CD to make that, supposedly make that harder or more difficult to do, and all it means is just putting a file here or there or trading a file here or there. And wow, man, people have knocked a hole in it. That's amazing.
It really is, the people. First of all, I don't care why people just want to just buy it. I don't know. I don't get it, why people want to do that, but that's just my opinion. Well, I guess people find ways around everything, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen them floating around. And,
you have mail.
You know, they've cracked 7. I think somebody's cracked 8. You know, they're not going to stop anybody, unfortunately. And same here. I'm a paid professional user. I had the state buy it for me original, but, you know, I've been keeping up all the SMAs, and I've upgraded it to Pro, so, you know, I've put my money into it, too, and I don't want to use cracks either.
Neither do I.
Well, you know, we all remember that T.exe. That's enough just not to put anybody's junk on your computer, right? Oh, man, that little sound recorder that was supposed to have come out that just rock some people's world, you know.
Okay, I apologize for being late here, because I got something to do. Also, yeah, I sent an email to the department about I probably might host some of it, but due to my workload these days, I won't be able to host everything that is going on. So I apologize for it. But I will listen to it. I'm going to comment on certain things that you might have.
I'm guessing that's Lee.
That's me.
Well, I guess a couple of questions I might have would be, is it slower than XP? Come right down to it. You know, people are going to be wanting to invest in a new operating system, and should they invest in it if Vista is going to be that much slower? The other thing, or second thing, is driver support. And why are the, you know, I'm hearing that these people aren't finding drivers for scanners and that kind of thing. Why aren't XP drivers working? I mean, I understand if you don't have a current Vista driver out there, it's, you know, you might not have full efficiency of the hardware, but why would an XP driver not be sufficient for Vista until a driver is found to replace it? I mean, XP, as far as I'm concerned, is a pretty modern operating system, and it's still 32-bit, just like the Vista application. I just don't understand why the drivers would be that much different. And I guess the last thing I would be wondering about, and I could, you know, I can go over these again if you need me to, is the user account control. I hear people saying, you know, they think it's not good for JAWS to even release a beta. That doesn't support that thing, but that thing's annoying. I ran the beta of Vista. I don't have Vista on my machine now. And I didn't know you could turn that user account control off, but I would have if it had been the first thing I would have done if I'd known it, because it asks you questions, you know, you're already going to answer affirmative to anyway. And the fact that you can answer those questions in the affirmative without going through a bunch of hoops or changes, I mean, it just to me makes the thing a nuisance. Yeah, is one thing it makes it a nuisance, but ineffective another thing. I don't see where the effectiveness is of it if you just bringing up a dialogue to ask somebody if they want to run a program, or if you're just bringing up a dialogue asking them if they want to delete a file or change a property in an email or something like that. It just makes absolutely no sense to me. But those are my three questions, and you can answer them however you want to do it.
1%. To your first question, usually depends on the processor speed. If you have like a modern Core 2 dual processor that has cores active, then it is faster. But in general, it is a bit faster than XP. Regarding the driver, yes, you'll need a new Vista driver because the driver architecture has changed. And the third, yes, you can turn it off the user account control. You can go to user accounts and turn it off. Only the administrators can turn it off.
But I guess what I'm saying about that user account control is, if you're already on as the administrator, and the thing just comes up to ask you questions that you're able to just click a yes button to answer, what's its purpose? Yeah, I mean, you can click a no button to answer that question as well. I guess if an ActiveX control automatically ran or something, it would pop that message up as well as if something ran in the background without your knowledge. Maybe that's what they're trying to protect you against, but you're just trying to do something out here on the web or something, and you get that control kicking in. Well, you can answer yes to it anyway. I just don't see the purpose of it.
Yeah, this is part of the new security features of Windows Vista, where the USC will block them access to certain like key areas of the operating system, like adding hardware, adding and removing software, etc. Yeah, I would say that's a bit annoying, but you can turn it off, I would say. And if JAWS does not support at this point, you will need them. I don't know whether Freedom Scientific is going to support it or not. I don't know when it will.
0%.
But they indicated that they will eventually support UAC.
Well, I'm guessing you're running Vista?
I am running 10%. Ultimate.
Okay, well, in terms of that driver support, how elaborate do the drivers go in their hardware database? I mean, is it just basically like XP or something like that where you may get the main motherboard drivers or the main chip manufacturer drivers or things like that, but something real elaborate like a scanner or a printer or something like that, will it find most of that, or do you have to go out and find those drivers? Because it talked like the hardware support's unparalleled, but I mean, if you're caught, I just can't really see them change the driver structures to the point where the XP drivers wouldn't work. That, you know, just to my mind, doesn't leave enough room for, you know, having to convert over to a new operating system. It doesn't leave any enough backward compatibility or something is what I'm looking for, I guess.
1%.
This is where the Windows Vista Open Advisor plays a role. You will determine what version of Vista is right for you, and you will detect any hardware software that won't work with it. So pretty much, Vista does recognize some most of the hardware, about 90% of it, but in some rare cases, you need them.
0%.
You need to replace the hardware in question, or you need the Vista driver. Yeah, the driver architecture is a bit different, but I believe it's the same as XP. But you will need a Vista driver in order for it to work properly. And the driver architecture is different between XP and Vista due to the inclusion of what's called the .NET framework.
0%.
So that's my word on drivers. And try running the Vista Upgrade Advisor to see what software or hardware
hardware has some issues while running.
Okay, do they take you to links? If you got a, like, if they show you this hardware is not going to work, or this hardware will work if you go to this link and download the proper drivers for it. Do they give you links to the hardware stuff that you got to get most of the time, or not?
It will. 4%. It will do both for it. It will give you the list of hardware that won't work with it, list of hardware or software that will need updated drivers, and it'll point you to the link that where you can download the latest Vista driver.
Well, that's interesting. That might work all right then.
Have you used the Vista Upgrade Advisor before, Tom?
No, I haven't. I ran Vista during the beta cycle a couple of times and tried it. But no, I've never used the Advisor. I just installed it cold, and it found most things. It found my sound card, in fact. I run an Audigy, an original Audigy. It found that. I think it found... I must have found my internet drivers as well. So it found a lot of things I needed when I ran it.
Yeah, 2%. That's interesting. So for people who want to really
0%.
Use Vista and see what hardware, software, the issues that you might have, I really recommend that you use the Upgrade Advisor. And since you run beta version of Vista, you will be familiar with some new changes.
0%.
That is new with Vista, I would say.
Okay. I'll be quiet. I think, Rick, you're still in here. You might have some questions, but if you get time, see what Rick's got. But if you get time, go through the add remove programs now, because I hear it's changed a lot.
Yeah, I will. Go through add remove programs. When I do the maintenance portion of my podcast, I'm going to do that. But not now, because I didn't set up my computer for it right now. And I'm doing two things. First, I'm doing this
0%.
And the second, I'm doing my workload from school and abroad.
What kind of computer are you using now?
1%.
I have two computers here. I got a Toshiba laptop, a Satellite M105.
0%.
Machine, and I also have a desktop, which is serving as a recording studio.
All right, well, you've answered most of my questions. I appreciate it. I might run that program and see what it finds wrong with my machine.
1%. Do you still have the log of the chat that we've done yesterday?
0%.
In a few months, I need to leave to do something else, so probably I have to hand over the hosting from myself over to you if you still have those answers that I gave you in chat log.
0%.
Because I don't have any time right now to attend both this chat and to do my work at this point.
Yeah, I just seen your message, Joseph, and no, I don't, unfortunately, I don't have any time right now either. I just came in to record this and was waiting for you to come in. I got a few things I got to get done here tonight before bed, and it's getting late, so I got to get some things done. So no, I don't really have time to host this for the next hour either. Sorry.
So I guess this chat did work to some extent, but
0%.
I guess night is not a good time at this. I guess
0%.
Even on like a Sunday or Saturday evening is not a good time, I believe. So 4%. Let's see. I don't know whether
0%.
If you're willing to probably for about the next month or so, I'm not going to host the another chat session right now because I got to do all my work. So I'll say that if you have another chat that you want to host, probably it is my 0%. Best to host over like a Monday to Friday night, instead of doing it over the weekend, because weekend is not a good time for me to do it. And probably if we're going to host it over the weekend, probably like
0%.
Afternoon might be a good time, because night time is not a pretty good time to use. So 0%. I guess that concludes the, although it was successful, but not that
0%.
Good, not that successful one as yesterday, but I'll call it a night. See you in the
0%.
BCT list. I gotta go. See you.
Joseph.